It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Hey, stand by, y'all. We'll let the drum loop roll for a minute. I got a call come through. Never a dull moment. Anyway, like I said, howdy. It is the 25th day of March, 2021. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. And that, of course, is also where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific, if you pick out a screen name and a password, if you never have had one before, and wander on in, you'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. Yeah. And, I'd say this thorn in the side Thursday looks pretty prickly. Without a doubt. Hi, I'm Robin, and as usual, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude because you are the ones who keep the program on the air. And so it is that thanks go out to our 25th day of the month subscribers. Thank you very much indeed to Mark and Mark. Thank you both for being partial sponsors of the program. Thank you so very much. If you would like to be a partial sponsor, well, by Jove, feel free to go by headon.live. The PayPal interface there is right there. And remember, if you become a $10 a month subscriber, you will be setting yourself back a little less than a half a stick of Wrigley's gum per program. That's how much it costs a $10 a month subscriber to help keep the program on the air. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? Pretty cheap, too. I mean, my God. Because, of course, you will not be berated with any Buy Gold Now ads or my friends, I'm sitting here listening. When I'm not on the air spewing lies now that I'm dead, I'm listening to my Bose Wave radio. You know, Rush Limbaugh, who is indeed, on this 25th day of March, 2021, still dead. Yeah, and here we are 5 days into spring, and it's been rather spring-like outside today. I think we got up into the 70s, and Lord, I do love that, but about 64 degrees here now. Oh, it's Saturday, though. It's going to be fabulous. 73 and sunshine all day. Maybe this weekend I can clean up and fire up the acorn and make something yummy. I've been hankering for some pulled pork and some of that wonderful slaw, the spicy yellow slaw that goes with barbecue from down where I was raised. Yeah, and well, if I do, there will be photographs. So, well, weekend's coming. Huh. Robin, the Uber amateur Uber driver, is a little bit, I guess, flagged. There's something about not quite getting a full night's of sleep and then getting up and going and then coming home. And, it's been a day. It's just been a day. But nonetheless, we have this to get the program going. Don't take the R out of voter. Robin! Last night, Silent R. Lamar, now Lamar the Magnificent, was on his game as he had the cowbell just a-clanging, Joey writes. And Jeffrey answers the bell as well, early on. Yes, I do believe that if you do not pronounce the R in Lamar, you have a, well, you have a llama, not a Lamar. Those were not llama bells last night. Those were some real good cowbells, which is far better than, yes, which is far better than the Nobel Prize. Ha, ha, ha. Great job, Silent R. Okay, Nobel Prize. Yeah, all right. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey bellows on. Unfortunately, we have an idiot politician, Frank LaRose, who is the Secretary of State for Ohio. And as I have said before, his name should have the R removed because Frank LaRose is just la-hosing minority voters left and right. No, not left and right, but the Secretary of State, Frank Noir LaHose, is very much suppressing the vote of almost exclusively the left in the state of Ohio. Well, that's good analysis, Jeffrey. LaRose is now decrying the For the People Act as a federal takeover of elections. However, when the president from his own party tried a federal takeover of the elections to change the results of the 2020 election in federal courts, and after each of the 50 states, like Ohio, the other 49, certified their own elections, LaRose said nothing. Nor did loser LaHoser ever speak out against the big lie that led to insurrection on the 6th day of January. Nick-ups. And nerps, too. As we speak, the GOP nationwide has proposed over 243 voter suppression bills, including some that would prevent, in other states, the kinds of voter rights Ohioans have enjoyed for years. Again, Silent R. LaHose was silent as he had no comment. First and foremost, LaRose could put far more than one drop box in the 12 most populous counties in Ohio, which are home to Columbus, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Toledo, Dayton, and their suburbs. Use this state as the baseline to call out the no-excuse absentee ballots and mail-in ballots. Jeffrey, however, wants to vote his thoughts. What the Secretary of Hate should be decrying is the obvious racist provision, such as in Georgia, where the legislature seeks to ban Sunday morning voting, which is a direct slap at black voters. March the 21st was the 49th anniversary of Dunn versus Blumstein, which ruled that states may not require at least 1 year's residency for voting eligibility. And to think, you can literally go out and register for a gun permit and have it in your hands in just a few short minutes, but you cannot register and vote on the same day in many states. That's not, I don't think that's quite true. Concealed carry permits take a little longer. Not very. But you can definitely go and purchase a gun and use it on the same day. That was the case in Atlanta, as young Robert Allen Long proved with such deadly and bloody success. And on this day in 1965, as Silent R. Lamar alluded to this last night, MLK led the Alabama Freedom Marchers from Selma to Montgomery. And after 4 days and nights on the road, the marchers were refused permission to give a petition to Governor Wallace, Governor George C. Wallace. That petition said, "We have come not only 5 days and 50 miles, but we have come from 3 centuries of suffering and hardship. We have come to you, the governor of Alabama, to declare that we must have our freedom now. We must have the right to vote. We must have equal protection of the law and an end to police brutality." During the rally that followed the refusal by the governor of Alabama, George C. Wallace, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stated, "We are not about to turn around. We're on the move now. Yes, we are on the move, and no wave of racism can stop us." Jeffrey with a final thought. "You know, that Governor Wallace was a real thorn in the side Thursday, asshole. Hell, somebody should have shot that guy." Jeffrey, somebody did. Arthur Brimmer, Silver Springs, Maryland. Arthur Brimmer of Wisconsin, I do believe. This has been Joey's Journal for Thorn in the Side Thursday, the 25th of March, with Giraffrey wishing a happy birthday to Elton John, Gloria Steinem, who's 87 today, and to Joey's wonderful father, who's 88 years young today. "Happy birthday, Dad," says Joey. "You're the best." Indeed. And with that, we have the $10, "We Must Have the Right to Vote" challenge on the table. Thank you, Joey and Giraffe, and thank you for the correction, Steve in New York. The horn is not cheap. It is inexpensive. A very pointed and poignant difference. Yes, indeed. So the fundraising goal for the evening stands at $5.50. It's now it'll be $5.30 if somebody will meet the $10 challenge, just to get us started real quick. $5.30, and that is most helpful indeed. Thank you. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Jeffrey. And thanks to everybody, because $5.50 is not that bad on a Thursday. We are fully funded for last Monday, last Tuesday, and we're $50 worth of funded for yesterday. So that's tremendous. Thank you all. Thank you, everybody, for making sure that we're not looking at some four-figure fundraising hole come Friday on the front porch and the desperate search for a Friday on the front porch community-made miracle. Thank you so much. Now, let's see. We are a week. Agnes and I have been talking. We are a week away from our second Pfizer jab, our second Fauci-ouchie, otherwise known as the ouchie-deucie. I came up with ouchie-deucie. I'm proud of it. Not cowbell proud, but proud nonetheless. As Stockton Larry points out in the chat room, though he survived that shooting in Silver Springs, Maryland, George C. Wallace is, like Rush Limbaugh, still dead. Yes. Adding, "You know, if Arthur Brimmer had a middle name, he could have killed him." It's that middle name that lets you know they're really, really serious. But last night was a fantastic conversation with Silent R. Lamar, formerly Silent R., now Lamar the Magnificent, courtesy of Tom in sunny San Rafael. Randy Radar, "Concealed carry. Is that a gun in your pants, or are you just happy to see me?" Mae West, of course. Yeah. Yeah, that. So, this being Thursday, Thorn in the Side Thursday. Don't get ahead of yourself, Robin. This being Thorn in the Side Thursday, I thought it best that we start off with some sure enough Thorn in the Side assholes. As of today, the Georgia bill referenced by Joey and Giraffe, the Georgia bill that would seek to softly, as it were, disenfranchise tens of thousands of Georgia voters, if not hundreds of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands. The Georgia legislature did not like the outcome of the past elections. They didn't like what happened on November 3rd, and they didn't like what happened on January the 5th. And so they feel the need to make sure that less of those pesky American citizens of dark hue vote. And so, today, the Georgia House of Representatives passed what they ironically call the Election Integrity Act of 2021, otherwise known as the "Do We Really Have to Let These Black People Vote" bill, and it passed by 100-75. One wonders how many Republicans were in the 75 that voted against. Is it possible that that was a party line vote and that the Georgia legislature is only 25 votes away from becoming a democratically run a Democratic majority run House of Representatives? I don't know, but it's devoutly to be wished. And it will go to the Georgia State Senate. And it was referenced today, among others, by President Biden. And, well, just a word about President Biden's press conference today. Oh, and by the way, David in South Carolina Stan says, got that signature line, subject line. I told you it's been a day. Still roasting. David notes, got that sweet tea brewing while Wallace and Rush are roasting. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And Lester Maddox and Oral Roberts and Jerry Falwell and Richard Nixon and Spiro Agnew. And it's a hell of a barbecue. Yeah, shame on me. I'll let myself out. But President Biden had his first press conference today. First standalone press conference. Just stood up there and fielded questions and answered them. And I'm sure this will affect my progressive street cred. And we all understand, of course, that President Biden is really, genuinely, and truly insufficiently ideologically pure. Of course. But nonetheless, if you caught the press conference live, maybe you feel a little like I do. Maybe you feel like you're really, really more and more impressed with President Biden. Because I am. It was months ago, maybe more than half a year ago, maybe closer to a year ago, that I started talking about the fact that the presidency shapes the president. The president does not shape the presidency. Or it should in its best incarnation. Certainly was not the case in the four nightmare years of Nitwit Nero, when he fiddled while the country burned in so many ways, not the least being COVID-19 itself. There's new data out to suggest that the death toll, climbing still toward 600,000, but having slowed somewhat, although we're probably looking at another spike and surge as a result of people going batshit and spring breaking and the like. But the fact of the matter is, didn't have to be as awful as it was. Out at UCLA, University of California, Los Angeles, an academic there by the name of Andrew Atkinson has done some research on the pandemic response. According to the Washington Post's Philip Bump, it's likely that the government's response to the pandemic led to hundreds of thousands of deaths that could have been prevented, and it's likely that the pandemic response cost Donald Trump the presidency. And Andrew Atkinson's research at UCLA discovered that had there been widespread testing and mask mandates implemented early on, fully, and of course this presupposes the absence of maggot governors like Brian Kemp and white supremacist adjacent illegitimate Florida Governor Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis, who really did become governor of Florida with the help of real live, no kidding, Nazis. Well, if we'd had masking and if we'd had widespread testing, we would probably be talking today, and it would still be horrifying and sad. But we'd be talking today about a death toll that was less than 300,000. And Atkinson's research says that we'll get to 672,000 COVID-19 deaths overall. And, well, there's a gap of almost 400,000 deaths if COVID Caligula had responded appropriately instead of like the bloody little psychopath that he is. There's more research out there, according to the Washington Post article. The lax approach to the pandemic, according to Philip Bump. The lax approach to the pandemic that led to Trump's eventual defeat is borne out by his own pollster, Tony Fabrizio, who showed how those who voted against Trump were more likely to view his response to the pandemic critically. Yeah. But there are almost 400,000 Americans in graves, as opposed to at dinner tables, as President Biden pointed out, who didn't have to be, who didn't need to be. Some of those, curiously, are probably maggots. A certain amount of irony involved with that. But it is something we that Americans will be grieving for a generation at least. Little children will remember how Grammy or Grandpa died. And the question of why will be one for them and those in their generation who become academics and researchers to sort out. And I have no doubt that the long-term answer will be the same as the short-term answer reached by Mr. Atkinson at UCLA. They died. Well, I don't know if it'll reach this level of detail, but they died. Solely and simply, if you're looking for primary causation, because we still enshrine a racist anachronism in our Constitution that is a holdover from the days when Southern planter aristocracy had to be kept pacified and kept happy with attempts to prop up their filthy system of chattel slavery as the basis for their economic success. In other words, the Electoral College. There's no getting around the fact that it's racist. It absolutely is. It's agreed upon by constitutional scholars and historians. And anybody who cares to take a long look at it, or even a brief one, can see it as plain as day. That's it. And yet, for all that this administration is trying to do, nowhere on the agenda, at least not stated overtly, is the repeal of the Electoral College. And so the one thing that we are guaranteed out of this is that somewhere along the way, another Republican will become president of the United States without winning the popular vote, and probably will then do as much or more damage than Nitwit Nero did in his four nightmare years. Jeremy in Vermont points out 670,000 COVID deaths. If we hit that number, it'll be 50,000 more than all the deaths in the Civil War, traitors included. The boys in Buttermilk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it will perhaps cause historians to wonder if COVID-19 was in fact an act on the part of the Republican Party of biological warfare. against the people of this country. And Randy Radar points out something else. Due to the pandemic, there were a huge number of paper ballots cast, which made, except for the tabulation, the 2020 election much more accurate than it otherwise would have been. Yeah. We have a couple of shot updates. Steve in New York, second Pfizer shot update. Just an update on what to expect. Arm wearer received the shot, aching all the way down. Upper back pain, pain in thighs. Generally feels like the soreness I'd feel if I'd had a full workout a year after not working out. Then, subject line, Fauci ouchie, Mike in sunny San Rafael says, got my second shot, Pfizer, 2 days ago. I woke up yesterday with a sharp headache that persisted all day. Also, as the day progressed, I felt worse with body aches and general malaise. Today, though, I woke up feeling great. The St. Joe's Hospital vaccination site here in Bellingham is cranking through 1,100 to 1,200 people a day. The system they've set up is a well-oiled machine. I thanked all the helpers, nurses, and doctors working at the site. The whole thing brought tears to my eyes, and I had a hard time holding back my emotion as I spoke to the various workers there. Washington State is now vaccinating everyone over 50 years old. Thank you, Governor Jay Inslee, and thank you, Joe Biden. Best regards, Mike in Cascadia, for good. Well, congratulations, Mike. I'm so happy for you, and I understand why you would have been perhaps overwhelmed in emotion as you got your shot. And here, drink that Gatorade. Y'all, when you're going before and after your shot, that's the best thing I've heard yet. Super hydrate. Drink your Gatorade. And now the rule that we got from the CDC when we got our first Fauci ouchie was no ibuprofen 6 hours before and no ibuprofen till 6 hours after. I'd guess that at hour seven, a couple of ibuprofen might not be a terrible idea. Yeah. Mike, I'm happy for you indeed on multiple counts. Steve in New York says, as to the UCLA professor, let's think about this. With a mask mandate and testing, there'd be 400,000 less deaths. Now imagine if we had done this. Paid everyone $2,000 to $3,000 a month to stay home. Shut everything down for 2 months, and taken the steps the UCLA professor mentioned. The lives saved, I suspect, would have been even more. Yeah. True, true. And I guess we're experiencing buffering both at the White Rose and HeadOn.live sites. I'm sorry about that. Not as usual, there's not a blessed thing I can do about it except hope that this is not going to continue during the remainder of the program. But nonetheless, President Biden had his press conference today, and I found it extremely impressive. He came to the microphone prepared on a number of issues. He was calming. He was reassuring. He was indeed encyclopedic in his responses, and he addressed everything from immigration to COVID to our relations with China. And I did get interrupted from watching it partway through. But I was waiting for some twit from, say, Fox or Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. Something, yeah, I was waiting for someone to stand up. What about your stumble? Was that in there? Did I miss it? I don't know. But there was one less than impressive member of the Johnny on the Spot White House press corps. And what she wanted to know more than anything else was, are you going to run again? Are you going to run again? No, really, you going to run again? And President Biden took that one in stride as well, not answering her question. And then it got turned back on her. It kind of like when Bugs Bunny puts the finger in Elmer Fudd's shotgun and it blows up in his face. Yeah, because she said, well, you haven't filed to run again. Your predecessor did. Showing herself completely oblivious to anything before January 20th, 2017. I mean, come on, sis. Really? Well, your predecessor did. Which prompted probably the funniest response to the funniest response during the whole process, and it's certainly worth running the audio. The reference to my predecessor.
Then, on a related note, have you decided whether you are going to run for re-election in 2024? You haven't set up a re-election campaign yet, as your predecessor had by this time.
Dummy.
My predecessor needed to. My predecessor. Oh, God, I miss him.
Have you...
No, the answer is yes. My plan is to run for re-election. That's my expectation.
And then...
My predecessor. God, I miss him. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that just perfect? I mean, doesn't that have a certain Zen simplicity to it? God, I miss him. It was delivered with a dry... Because I laughed then like I'm laughing now. It was just a beautiful moment. And my predecessor. God, I miss him. God love it. And you know, if he'd grown up just a little further south, instead of God, I miss him, it would have been God love him, bless his heart, my predecessor. Which everybody at least south of the Mason-Dixon line would have understood meant, oh, fuck him with a red hot poker. God, what an asshole. Because God love him, bless his heart. Well, that's what that means. Jesus. That was just so special. Very nearly perfect. God, I miss him. Well, maybe that'll prove to be like the White House Correspondents Association dinner back when President Obama ribbed him mercilessly and caused him to decide to run for president. I don't know. I hope not. But that little moment was worth the tune in all by itself. But really, did the reporter, and you know, she was spotted, Nancy Cordes of CBS News, their chief White House correspondent, Nancy Cordes. Does history not exist for her before January 20th, 2017? Your predecessor did. Yeah. And we got two votes. We got two votes for a cowbell for President Biden. Cowbell for President Biden, says Steve in New York. Lee in New York also, maybe it's a New York thing. Please give Biden a cowbell for the predecessor comment. I agree. I agree completely. Yeah. God, that was just beautiful. But somebody needs to tell, somebody over at CBS News, maybe they've got a managing editor or something, needs to tell Nancy Cordes that was a really stupid question. only because it was. Well, I mean, your predecessor did. Well, you know what else he did? Nancy Cordes, his predecessor, also walked up the steps to Air Force One with toilet paper stuck to his heel. You gonna ask him about that one, too? Well, I mean, Mr. President, are you going to stick some toilet paper to your shoe and climb the stairs to Air Force One? I mean, your predecessor did. Mr. President, are you gonna kidnap some children and rip them away, some infants away from their mother's breast? Your predecessor did. Eesh. You get an opportunity to stand up and ask a question of the most powerful man on earth, and that's what you come up with? I mean, is there some sort of planning session that takes place among the Johnny on the spot White House press corps before they go live? Okay, all right. Everybody, draw straws. Ah, Nancy, I'm sorry. You asked the stupid question today. Damn it. Yeah, I know. Ralph says, oh no, please don't get Donnie pissed off. I know. But he was. No getting around it. A couple more thoughts on the vaccine. Darlene in Connecticut says, well, if we reach the 600,000 plus mark with COVID deaths, which I think we will, then we have or are close to exceeding the number of deaths from the Spanish flu, which I will point out to my tax preparer, who seems to think that because it hasn't reached that level of death and destruction, that somehow it isn't that bad. The fool. Yeah. And Steve pointing out, I need to thank President Joseph Robinette Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris for finally taking this seriously. There's zero doubt that by taking swift and strong action, we have come to this point in just 65 days. Because at the beginning of the press conference, he pointed out that he was 65 days in. Last week, we reached the 100 million vaccination mark ahead of schedule, because he said 100 million in 100 days. And so not content to rest upon his laurels. You ever tried resting upon laurels? It's not that pleasant. But nonetheless, not content to rest on his laurels, he said, all right then, 200 million by 100 days. And I think they'll get it done. And he absolutely tweaked the hell out of Mitch McConnell and made a compelling argument for the fact that there are Republicans out there who actually agree with him. Yeah. Nancy Cordes, Darlene asks, she didn't ask about his stumble up Air Force One. At least he defied gravity by stumbling upwards on those damn steep steps. Trump seemed to manage them somehow, but couldn't do a ramp, which is supposed to be easier. Go figure. And the toilet paper. Always the toilet paper. Right. And I guess we're just blipping away on the interweb tubes this evening. Sorry about that, y'all. And as to Nancy Cordes' question, you know, your predecessor did. Brother Deacon Asa points out, a more bone-crushing answer would have been, I can assure you that Barack Obama didn't file for re-election this early in the game. Yeah, that would have stung. That would have left a mark. Doink. Mm-hmm. And also a cowboy. Well, my predecessor needed to file for re-election that early. Agreed, Jeremy. It was a two cowbell press conference for President Biden. Cynthia in the Bay Area said, I had my second Pfizer shot yesterday and I feel great. Well, that is, except my arm, sore as is common for me with most any vaccine. I was ready to feel terrible today. Guess I don't get to be that couch potato then. Oh, well. Ah, hell, Cynthia says, I'm going to be a bit of a couch potato anyway. Damn it. Yeah. Be one. You deserve it. You earned it. You earned it, Cynthia. Enjoy that. Enjoy being a couch potato for a moment. Yeah. God, I miss him. Well, I guess Nitwit Nero was missing the limelight too, because he had a hissy, and he had to call Fox News TV Radio Rwanda to yak after the to try to set up an interview after the press conference. So he's going to be on, he's going to be on Frau Ingram's show this evening via phone. Yeah. Because he's pathetic. He's pitiful. And he gets more infantile by the day. And, oh, Fox had such a sad, Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, as Leah New York points out, because they didn't get to ask a stupid question today. No, they didn't. Oh. Yeah, and they complained about it. They complained about it on air. Poor little Fox.
...that he took questions from 10 people, you and Fox News, not among them.
That's right, and I mentioned last night on Special Report that I had a binder full of questions. I think some people were kidding.
Yeah, really? A binder full of, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the Chiron, the it says, Biden snubs Fox News during first news conference. What are they, the Queen of the May? They always get to answer a question? Or ask a question? I'm sorry. Sure, you know, they're Fox News. Because, well, doggone it, he had a binder full of questions, he did. And who was that, Peter Ducey? I'm not sure. But he had a binder full of questions, and every page it was just like The Shining. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Except every page in the binder was, "Sir, are you fit to serve as president? Because you stumbled going up the stairs to Air Force One." With the way he performed today, that might have been worth hearing. Actually, as stupid as it would have been worth hearing, because he could have answered, "Yeah, but I didn't have toilet paper on my shoe." And that would have been delightful. Oh, but they send him there, this little neo-maxi Zoom dweeby, who had to bring up his notebook to show everybody his binder full of questions. Maybe he got it from Mitt Romney. Maybe that's the binder full of women. Who knows?
I was not kidding. We had a lot, and most of this stuff did not get to. For example, nobody ever asked him about this big plan that he's got, this big idea to completely transform the economy to make it all green. That Bingo. Was something that we were hoping to get on the board with. And there really were not a lot of questions about COVID, particularly the investigation into the origins of it. That is obviously something that he spends a lot of time focusing on ways to move away from, but there is very little looking back at the origins of COVID. So we
what origins did the young twerp miss? It originated in Wuhan. It originated organically. It's a process. It's a function, as far as we can understand, of doing of doing things with, in terms of putting animals together that you ought not do, putting species next to species that have never been next to each other in life, and bizarre biological things will happen. But I guess young Peter Ducey thinks that there's some, well, I don't know, maybe he wanted to carry water for COVID Caligula. Thank you, Nydia. Nydia says it was Caitlin Collins and not Nancy Cordes. On the screen, they identified her as Nancy Cordes. Maybe it was it asked by more than one person? I don't know. Thank you, Nydia. I appreciate that. And he's going to turn the whole economy green. Oh no. Our grandchildren might actually have a decent planet to live on. Quel horreur!
did not get on the board with that. Nobody else asked about that. And to Chris's observation, I can add to it that in the room, there were some aides, including Kate Bedingfield, the communications director, and Jen Psaki, the press secretary. They were monitoring what he was saying. Looked like they were checking their phones to get the instant reaction. But
So is that nefarious? I'm trying to figure. They were paying attention to what their boss said, as compared to the previous maladministration, who what were over in the corner snorting meth and speaking in tongues because Jesus.
While he was up there, he was pretty much on his own. Usually, at the last few of these, and the last one that I can think of like this would have been in Wilmington, they had an aide off to the side with the list of reporters to call on. Today, it was Biden with the list. And once they...
The list? Can you hear the dick finger scare quotes? What the... Jesus, these people are terrible. Just horrible at what they do. That's all. Yeah. So, I'd say it was a good day all the way around, and his approval numbers certainly indicate that. But then there was a question about the budget and about the debt and the deficit, but he handled that too with almost mechanical precision. You get the idea that, I mean, he was winging it. He wasn't reading a teleprompter. He was answering from his heart, and there were moments when it was obvious that he was answering from his heart. And when the economics question came up, that was one of those moments.
It's ordinary people. Do you hear them complain when they passed close to $2 trillion Trump tax cut, 83% going to the top 1%? Do you hear them talk about that at all? I love the fact that they found this whole idea of concern about the federal budget. It's kind of amazing. When the federal budget is saving people's lives, they don't think it's such a good idea. It's ordinary people. Do you hear them complain?
Yeah. It was brilliant. And ordinary people probably watched this and said, I got no gripes. The economy's not going to collapse. That already happened in the last administration. There are way too many people who are suffering, who need help, and he addressed that compassionately, passionately, and intelligently. All of those being adverbs that could never be used in regard to his predecessor. God, I miss him. I'm going to enjoy that for a couple of days. I can't help myself. Sorry. But I think you have to score this a solid at least 8 out of 10. Maybe even 9 out of 10. Yeah. But there were many sads caused by this press conference among the people who bark and hunt and hoot and grunt and for a dollar from places like Fox News, TV, Radio Rwanda, including the recently hired, because of course, Kali Maganini. Yeah, Kali Maganini was complaining by 1:50 p.m. Right out of the gate, the White House press corps stands for President Biden. Would have been nice if they would have routinely shown that level of respect for President Trump. I hope this is not indicative of softball questions to come. Yeah. Of course, the press stood when he entered, too. But she now works for, you know, she and that stupid little cross she wears everywhere she goes in an abject mockery of anything resembling Christianity. She's a new hire at Fox, and she's got to establish her credibility as a shameless liar. And she's got to keep doing what she was doing in the White House. That's what she was hired for God's sakes. Ugh, what a horrible person. But who's surprised? Yeah. Oh, and there was a wonderful moment. Oh, okay. So it was both of them. Nydia just sent me the story on Caitlin Collins. I thought I saw a woman in a pink jacket, and that was Caitlin Collins. Nancy Cordes was in a completely different ensemble. So there were multiple people who asked a stupid question. Oh, well, somebody's got to, right? Somebody draws the short straw and has to answer the stupid question, or ask the stupid question. Yeah. But my God, we've got so much thorn in the side. Senator Mike Rounds from South Dakota, who represents fewer human beings than, a single congressional district in California. He decided to try to build himself a little bit of credibility with the mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing maggot base. Yeah. Special indeed. Because he put out a tweet in which he is, and this is just weird, there's a statue of him in the Trail of Governors in Park in Pierre, South Dakota. I didn't know they had one. But it's him in a pair of blue jeans and a moleskin or flannel shirt or something, and he's holding a shotgun next to a statue of a dog. And he tweeted, "Hey, Joe Biden, come and take it. Careful, she bites too." The bronze doggy bites. I guess he was governor. He was governor of South Dakota at some point. And you know, when your competition is Kristi Noem, maybe he was a better governor than she was. Come and take it. Moron lave. I think that translates from Greek as washer moron. Come and take it. Oh, my God. We're going to have this. We're going to have this for a while. But the problem is that whole come and take it thing is, it's a threat against the life of the President of the United States, and I don't think... Is Twitter covered by the speech and debate clause in the Constitution? I mean, if you're one of those constitutional originalists, I don't see how it could be, because we didn't have no Twitter back then in 1787. The implication being that if Joe Biden comes to take the shotgun, which is a part of a statue and not an actual shotgun, if Joe Biden comes to take the shotgun in the statue, that he, Mike Rounds, will shoot the President of the United States? I mean, can we at least get a visit by the Secret Service to Senator Rounds to tell him that in a country that's absolutely batshit crazy with guns that threatening the life of the President of the United States really is a criminal offense? I mean, just the visit. Probably not. Yeah, because our sacred Second Amendment rights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also because it is thorn in the side Thursday. This could have been a holdover for Moran Monday or Titanic Tuesday, but no, it qualifies. Let's pay a visit to Representative Pat Fallon. He's a member of the House of Representatives from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And Representative Pat Fallon, well, he was getting a little upset because an expert in hate groups testified in the House of Representatives today about right-wing domestic terror and right-wing hate groups. The witness in question was Leisha Brooks. She's the chief of staff at the Southern Poverty Law Center. And they have a hate watch list that they compile encyclopedically of various and sundry hate groups all across the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was testifying about domestic terrorism and hate in the United States. Clearly an expert. And representing Pat Fallon didn't like what he was hearing there because, well, representing Pat Fallon is only in office because the kind of people who get listed on the hate watch list are the people who keep him in office. That and gerrymandering. Yeah. So representing Fallon, well, he'd had about enough of hearing a good, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, murkin' organizations called a hate group by that there Leisha Brooks. And so he set about questioning her. Were you aware that the organization named the VFW, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, y'all have named it a hate group? You had in the past. At which point, Leisha Brooks is sitting there going, what? Huh? Hmm? The VFW? Really? Has your organization named the American Legion as a hate group? He also asked. And Ms. Brooks said, no, we haven't done that. Have you not? Really? Well, what it turns out is that representing Fallon, or one of his staffers, you know how this all goes. It's like the story I heard yesterday that Joe Manchin was going to have an op-ed in some newspaper, maybe the Washington Post, all about how, you know, we've got to have bipartisanship and balance in the Senate and how that might prevent him from being able to support H.R. 1 and the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, because, you know, that's not balanced because there's Republicans out there who very badly want for the Negroes not to vote anymore. And you know, that we've got to have bipartisanship, and so maybe we can't support that. Right. And the only thing that came out of that was the understanding that if there's an op-ed in a newspaper and it's got Joe Manchin's name on it, there's one thing you can know for absolute drop-dead certain, and that is Joe Manchin did not write it. Joe Manchin doesn't have time to sit around, or the intellect, to sit around writing op-eds. No. That was some staffer writing in the voice of Joe Manchin. Yeah, right. Well, it turns out that somebody is probably going to lose a job because Representative Fallon was relying for his questioning. Well, the SPLC named the poor old VFW. You know, the VFW where you go down and you play a couple of hands of poker and drink beer on Saturday night. The American Legion post. The American Legion and the VFW, they named them hate groups is what they done. They named them hate groups. Yeah, no, that never happened. It was, however, a story on Duffel Blog, which is a humor blog for that's based on military news. Yeah. Late yesterday, the Washington Post was still reaching out to Representative Fallon's office. Hey, did you guys know that you cited a piece of political satire and as actual fact? No, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's still crickets. Because Duffel Blog had posted a story yesterday. Southern Poverty Law Center classifies VFW and American Legion as hate groups. According to the SPLC, members of the Legion and VFW are well known for inciting extreme hatred. Now, here's the clue. And really, you gotta have a little chit-chat with your staff on something like this. That's a pretty inflammatory, and you can guarantee, it's almost guaranteed that they were inundated. I don't know, maybe a constituent saw this or some such and said, by God, Representative Fallon, I'm a member of the American Legion and the VFW, and by God, I ain't going to sit around and have no bunch of sissy liberals from Montgomery, Alabama, say that my beloved VFW, my beloved American Legion is a terrorist hate group. This will not stand. Right? Or maybe this is what happens when you type in SPLC hate watch or whatever, and maybe this pops up and your eager young legislative aide says, aha, she's going to testify. We're going to get her with this one, boss. Because I just read you the headline and I read you the subhead. Well known for inciting extreme hatred. And there's a sure enough picture of somebody wearing their VFW hat. So it's got to be a real news story, right? Because it's got a real picture of a guy wearing a VFW hat. That's how you can tell what real news is. Except for something that the eager young staffer missed. The byline. You know, that little part of a news story that tells you who wrote it. By Dick Scuttlebutt. On September 6th, 2017. Yeah, well-known investigative journalist, that Dick Scuttlebutt. Well, I mean, poor little eager young legislative Republican staffers. They can't be expected to know everything. I mean, they're eager young Republican staffers. They can't be expected to know anything. By Dick Scuttlebutt. Dateline, Montgomery, Alabama. The Southern Poverty Law Center has announced it would include prominent American veterans organizations, American Legion, and veterans of foreign wars in its listing of hate groups. Sources confirmed today in a written statement signed by SPLC President J. Richard Cohen. The organization said both the VFW and Legion were included since many of their members sympathize with radical extreme right-wing ideals such as freedom, safety, and family values. And because it's a self-parody, because the maggot right wing in America is self-parodying, they could read a line like that and not realize that that was a joke. Radical extreme right wing ideals such as freedom, safety, and family values. You can almost hear Representative Fallon on the hustings back home in Scuttlebutt, Texas, saying, "Well, I'm here to tell you that I support them radical right-wing values, extremist values of freedom, safety, and family values. Yes, indeed, I'm your freedom. I'm your freedom, safety, and family values candidate. And that socialist over there, what's running against me? He probably takes money. She probably takes money from the Southern Poverty Law Center. That's done libeled and scandalized our beloved American Legion and our beloved veterinarians of the foreign wars." "I hate to criminalize a group of decorated war veterans," Cohen said from somewhere deep within a fog of pit sweat in his corporate think tank steam room, where Senator Bernie Sanders, Moscow, was seen relaxing in the nude. "But these people revere statues of soldiers who have fought in wars where minorities and women weren't allowed to fight." It's over the top goofy. But not to Rex Fallon, his name, Ray Rex, Pat Fallon. Oh no, he swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. And the right wing does, the right wing falls for this shit all the time because they're so eager to have it. The Washington Post pointing out in 2012 when Duffel Blog published a fake news article claiming that Guantanamo Bay detainees were receiving GI Bill benefits. That's pretty brilliant, really. Moscow Mitch McConnell sent a query on the matter to the Pentagon, saying in the letter that this report concerns me immensely. Yeah. And then there was the Arizona Republican congressional candidate who got all bent out of shape over a Duffel Blog post that said the Democratic state senator had used profanity toward troops. Yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty broadly praised for its brilliance. General James Mattis, former Secretary of Defense, praised it, as did the founding editor of The Onion. God, why can't we write that, write like that? But, yeah. I mean, really? Really, eager young Republican staffer? Really, Pat Fallon? You think that there's a corporate think tank steam room where Bernie Sanders, Moscow, was seen relaxing in the nude? Well, hell yeah, I believe it. I've seen it with my own eyes. I mean, that Bernie Sanders, he sits around his Senate office and he's all together all the time. I was there one day, yeah. Oh, if it wasn't so fucking sad, it would be hilarious. And what do you want to bet that representing Pat Fallon has sent out a fundraising letter? "Today I challenge that liberal socialist lady from the SPLC for their organization calling our beloved VFW and American Legion a right-wing extremist hate group. Can you please send $3 to make sure that I can continue to fight back against imaginary lists of the calling the American Legion and the VFW a terror right-wing hate organization? Please, it's important that we preserve freedom against these socialists." Oh, my aching. But, yeah. Yeah. Beautiful thing, right? So, you know, that's at least a reasonably decent start for this this thorn in the side Thursday. And I suspect there's Well, I know for a fact there's ever so many more thorns to be plucked from our little rose bushes. Bunch of pluckers. So if you want to get involved in the conversation, you're mighty welcome to do so. This is Conversation Radio, after all. And by the way, we still have Joey and Giraffe's challenge to meet, and it would be great if we could get yesterday fully funded. That's only $250. And adding to Joey and Giraffe's challenge, Steve in New York says, normally Fox is Channel 5 in local markets. They got a SAD, which is three letters. So I'd like to offer 5 plus 3 for an $8 challenge in celebration of Fox News TV Radio Rwanda's SAD today. Terribly sad, yes. So there's $18 in challenges, which would get us down to $514 to get complete with fundraising. Thank you, Steve. Thank you. Steve pointing out Dick Scuttlebutt, co-written by Jack Mayhoffer, or Richard Big Dick Smoker. Of course. Fox News fooled by jetpack story. Steve points out that they also got the story. The story goes back to October 6, 2010. Fox News reported that Los Angeles is going to spend $1 billion on jetpacks that can fly a person up to 63 miles an hour and soar to heights of 8,000 feet. Well, damn it, I've been waiting on that all my life. We had a James Bond reference courtesy of Lamar the Magnificent yesterday. And here's another one. You know, ever since that footage of James Bond taking off in his jetpack back when I was a wee little tyke, I've been waiting for it. It's kind of like our buddy Reverbo. Been waiting a lifetime. Been waiting a lifetime for those helium-filled pants, damn it! Yeah. Because. So, yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Yeah, we certainly haven't bought any jetpacks, Police Chief Charlie Beck told the LA Times. We haven't bought squad cars for 2 years. But no, it showed up on Fox and Fiends back in 2010. Because they're Fox. And thank you, Jeremy in Vermont. Jeremy has just knocked out both challenges. Thank you so much, Jeremy. And thank you to Otto DeShot, who also helped out. So that means we're down to $504. Got $504 to come even with the, this Thursday. That means there's $204 remaining from yesterday, prayer meeting Wednesday. And thank you very kindly both to Otto and to Jeremy. I know Jeremy likes having some company. So thanks. Anyway, it is a Thursday, and since I was, pretty broad on Tuesday, I don't even remember if we ran the Green News Report on Tuesday. But, and the source of the story, the jetpack story, yeah, the Weekly World News. The same tabloid that had frequent updates on sightings in West Virginia of Robin the Bat Boy. Wasn't me. And how the space aliens counsel presidents of the United States. Nope. Eager young staffers. That's what happens. And that's also what happens when you don't have a managing editor who actually works. No. So let's check in with Brad and Desi, and if anybody wants to get involved in the conversation, you know, of course, it's Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype, also on Skype, 304-574-8178. And toll-free from anywhere in North America, that includes Canoodlia and Mexico, as well as the new 90 states of America, the greatest country in the history of the world on Earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God, amen. Well, it's the stress line is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN, 844-THEHORN, if you like to spell with your telephone keypad. Some people do. But chime in if you've got a burr under your saddle or a bee under your bonnet, and we'll see what Brad and Desi are up to.
It's Thursday, March 25, 2021.
It's not really recyclable. And that means that it ends up in landfills, or burnt, or in the ocean where it breaks down into microplastics, gets eaten by fish, and can end up inside us.
Plastic pollution increasingly found in oceans, farm soils, and the food chain. The fossil fuel industry receives more than $60 billion a year in indirect federal subsidies, study finds. Oil firms knew decades ago fossil fuels caused deadly air pollution and then lied about it. Plus, one tanker mishap causes global oil price spike.
All of those mishaps and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
The reason I am so happy is that science is back.
Yay, science is back. Come for the bad jokes, stay for the good science. This is your Green News Report. Okie dokie, speaking of good science, hello Desi Doyen.
Hey.
We start off today with a worldwide oil price spike because of one lousy ship. Really?
Yes. Global okay. Oil prices spiked temporarily after a massive container ship ran aground in the Suez Canal in the Middle East on Wednesday, halting all traffic in one of the world's busiest waterways. It's your daily reminder that solar and wind energy cannot be disrupted by a single poorly navigated ship halfway across the world.
Yeah, but it can be disrupted by nightfall.
That's what batteries are for.
Oh, good point. See? Good science.
Meanwhile, a new study has estimated just how much the U.S. fossil fuel industry receives in government subsidies. Now, direct subsidies, like tax breaks, are estimated to be up to about $50 billion a year. But researchers at Yale University estimate that indirect subsidies are far higher and allow fossil fuel companies to offload onto society the full, true costs of their products. Costs like pollution, public health damages, and climate change, known as externalities. Between 2010 and 2018, the study estimates the value of these indirect, implicit subsidies to the U.S. fossil fuel industry averaged about $62 billion every year.
Really? And yet we're just so broke, apparently, according to Republicans, that they can't afford to give any money to the solar and wind industry.
The Guardian reports that a new treasure trove of internal documents shows that oil companies knew decades ago that burning their product caused deadly, toxic air pollution.
Of course. What do you think we give them all that money for?
But like the tobacco industry, the documents show oil companies spent millions to generate uncertainty about the effects of their toxic air pollution, denying the fact that their products posed grave risks to public health, and spent millions lobbying to block clean air rules.
Huh. I wonder where they got all that money.
But as the world begins to shift away from fossil fuels, the oil and gas industry is pushing to flood the world with more plastics made from oil and gas in order to maintain their profits. And that would increase plastic pollution. A series of alarming studies reveal that plastic pollution is entering the food chain. UC Santa Barbara scientist Roland Geyer explains in an interview with CBS.
Plastic in the ocean has a tendency to break down into ever smaller pieces. And these tiny pieces then get taken up even lower down in the food chain. So we know that it ends up on our dinner plates. There is plastic in your food, plastic in your sea salt, and there is plastic coming out of your tap.
Delicious.
And it's not just entering and rising up the ocean food chain. A new study has concluded that teeny tiny microplastics are even contaminating agricultural soils on land. The researchers were surprised to find that tiny plastic particles were small enough to pass through the physical barriers of intact plant tissue, negatively impacting plant development, and could be ending up in produce and people. They estimate that more microplastics products are contaminating farm soils than oceans. In the U.S., Democratic Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon introduced the Comprehensive Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act to reduce plastic pollution and address the entire life cycle of plastics. The bill also prioritizes environmental justice because most plastic manufacturing plants are, surprise, located in communities of color, like a massive new plastic plant now being proposed in a primarily black community in Louisiana known as Cancer Alley because of the high incidence of cancer. HBO's John Oliver did an epic report on plastic pollution in his show last week tonight, exposing how the plastic packaging industry and the oil industry lobbied to put the burden on consumers to dispose of plastic waste rather than the producers of plastic waste. But it turns out that the vast majority of plastic packaging cannot be recycled. We'll link to that video at our website, greennews.bradblog.com. Plastic pollution is another way that the oil industry is trying to force consumers, governments, and taxpayers to bear the oil industry's burden of the waste and pollution they generate. Effectively, another subsidy for the fossil fuel industry. Nice work if you can get it.
Indeed. For much more on that story and all of the other things we couldn't cover today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Nice work if you can get it. And you can get it if you try. Strolling with the one boy. Sigh and sigh after sigh. Nice work if you can get it.
Indeed, indeed. And so we're nearing the halfway point of the program this evening. And again... If you want to participate, you know how to jump in. I just mentioned it a little bit ago. A couple of notes. Yes, Robin, says Cynthia in the Bay Area. But these horrible people are God-fearing, upstanding, homosexual Christians, don't you know? You describe them better than me, you know, with your rapid-fire description of them. It's perfect. Good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians. Yeah, I mock them. Of course, you know that. But, you know, if the question's ever, why do you hate religion? Look at any given day. Go and look at all the religion stories. There's a guy who recently became public who went public with his identity, is what I mean. He'd already gone viral with an account called Preacher's Sneakers, in which he started documenting the attire of these evangelical religion industry gospel sharps, like the one guy who was wearing the $2,000 Yeezy sneakers, which looked surprisingly like a pair of shoes I had back in college. I loved them, but they were not $2,000 a pair. I think they were Kangaroo brand or something. They had a little zipper pouch in the side of the high top. They were great boots. Not worth a damn in the snow, but the rest of the year they were wonderful, especially for going out to like Cooper's Rock State Forest and hiking and wandering around and whatnot. Yeah. But he's worth following. I think he's on Instagram, maybe Twitter. I'm not sure which, but it's at Preacher's Sneakers. And he looks it up. He finds it and basically lays out exactly how much these gospel sharps are spending on their wardrobe. Yeah. Far more serious matter. Well, wait. Okay, Kyle in Kentucky Stan says, I'm just now tuning in. I missed the first hour because I've been enjoying the complete meltdown at Fox since Biden didn't let young Peter Ducey ask a question. They're more upset about that than Biden letting in all the Mexicans to make us sick and steal our jobs. Yeah, because so many Americans are lining up to pick lettuce in the blazing sun, right? Sure, yeah, without a doubt. I see Kyle's sense of sarcasm in fine form this evening. Wait! You mean religious leaders, especially evangelicals, are complete grifters? Wow. Big if true. Yeah. But speaking of Kentucky, Stan, lest this one slip past, we had the story out of Atlanta that I mentioned yesterday, where the guy with two long guns and three pistols went swanning into the Publix there, and the manager was like, no, I'm not going to be that guy. Nope, that ain't going to happen. Not after Boulder. And called the cops, and the cops came and got him. Remains to be seen whether he'll be charged with anything, but there was a bit of a stir in Lexington, Kentucky today. A man by the name of Brian Carroll of Versailles, Kentucky. Yes, that's Versailles, not Versailles like in France. It's Versailles, or as my father used to pronounce it, Versailles. Kind of like Versailles. No, it's Versailles. Well, Brian Carroll's from Versailles, which is just outside of Lexington. It's horse and bourbon country. Brian Carroll had gone to visit a family member at the University of Kentucky Chandler Hospital earlier today, and the Lexington police were tipped off by another police department, and Brian Carroll of Versailles was arrested without incident. Must be a white guy, when he came out of the hospital. He was, at the time, toting firearms. Mm-hmm. Toting firearms. And in his car, the police found body armor and what may turn out to have been explosive devices. Yeah. Maybe he just mixed up some Tannerite because he was going to go target shooting after he visited his loved one there in the hospital. But he's going to be charged with on a federal and a Commonwealth level in Kentucky. An alert went out asking people to stay the hell away. And the FBI, the campus police, and the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives all showed up and pretty much surrounded the hospital, because here in Merca, you can't, nowhere is safe. Thanks to, thanks to the Republicans who forever stop any effort to make it harder to slaughter people here in Merca. Yeah, and President Biden took a run at some of that too today. Brilliantly. And apparently, as Darlene points out, I'm not the only one who was impressed with today's performance. Over at MSNBC, Hayes Brown, an opinion columnist there, said it was clear that this event was a different kind than what we'd been conditioned to expect when the last guy, as Biden frequently used to refer to President Trump, was in office. Head note cards, as noted, and Mr. Brown says, I was reminded how the Trump news cycle was charted in seconds as the mercurial president changed his mind on a dime, tossing out wild lies like a boxer throws haymakers. He only saw the next 30 seconds ahead of him, and his answers often reflected that. But Biden is thinking about the arc of the next 4 years. The only problem is the press hasn't shifted in response. On question after question, the journalists in the room tried to make news, most hammering away at the story leading the current news cycle, the situation on the southern border, much of which is ginned up by that self-same for-profit media. Mm-hmm. And unlike Trump, Mr. Brown writes, Biden wouldn't bite. He responded to each frantic inquiry by giving thoughtful, substantive answers in place of drama. But yeah, I caught that one too. He joked about having been elected to the Senate over 120 years ago. In addition to the, God, I miss him. And the for-profit media were not having any of the business of him talking about the success in keeping people from more people from dying from COVID. They want to know about the southern border because they're addicted. They're hopelessly addicted to the warm thrill of confusion, that space cadet glow that they got day after day after day and turned around and breathlessly reported to their eager and waiting audiences. I was out on the road today when the press conference started, so I did what I think anybody would have done in my circumstance. And, hey, the press conference is starting, so I tuned over to National Petroleum Radio, right? NPR. In my instance, the local version is West Virginia Public Radio. And I tuned over thinking, well, you know, they'll have this. I mean, this is his first standalone press conference. It's day 65 of his administration. This is pretty important. He's probably going to talk about what we can expect from him in the next, 45 days as he rounds out the first 100 of his administration. And no. They had a couple of guys with a fiddle and a penny whistle in the studio playing Irish jigs. I'm not kidding. West Virginia Public Radio did not run President Biden's press conference. I guess they figured maybe it would inflame the passions of the maggots if they had to hear someone who was speaking with a three-syllable word from time to time, who didn't treat a press conference like some sort of insult stand-up comic. So instead, I had to tell, SIRI, you can't say her name if she's going to think you're talking to her. I had to tell SIRI that I wanted to listen to NPR in order to get the press conference. I mean, if I was West Virginia Public Radio, I'd be kind of embarrassed. But it's going to take a while, if we're even successful at all, to get the multimillionaires of the for-profit media to get over themselves and to get over their hopeless addiction to cheap thrills and invective as a substitute for actual policy. Pathetic, really. I wonder if we will get there. Yeah. Oh, and Kyle with a note talking about the University of Kentucky Chandler Hospital. Why do you need fucking guns to go into a damn hospital? Ban the fucking guns, for fuck's sake. And also, if it was a black guy, the cops would have been the ones shooting up the hospital. Sigh. What a fucked up country we have in oh so many ways. Yeah, I know. And as a follow-up, there's a photo, Jeremy provided it to me from Facebook, NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt. A 22-year-old man, of course, who police say went into an Atlanta grocery store carrying a rifle and who was later found to have six guns and body armor, was arrested Wednesday. And there's a picture of the guns. Let's see, it looks like a Smith & Wesson 38 caliber. Smith & Wesson semi-automatic, maybe a Glock, but there's three semi-automatic pistols and a wheel gun, a pump-action shotgun, and of course, he wouldn't be a 22-year-old man with guns if there wasn't an AR-15 involved. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he's just exercising his Second Amendment rights. Yeah. No one was injured, and the man's motives were not clear early on Thursday. Oh, for fuck's sake, really? Meanwhile, it was funny. Lo and behold, I think it was Tuesday. No, it was yesterday. It was yesterday when we played young Nevin and Quinlan as they testified about the merciful grace of Jesus, of their personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, even as the blood was still on the floors of the King's Super in Boulder. And I said, you know, there's always one. There's somebody that's going to come out after the neighborhood gets blown away by tornadoes and their house was left. I just want to thank my personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for sparing me and, you know, and killing that little five-year-old girl down the street. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Well, tornadoes ripped through Talabama again today. There are at least three people dead. Yeah. The tornadoes were designated as violent because a tornado is known to be is referred to as violent by the National Weather Service if it has winds higher than 166 miles an hour and ratings of EF4 or EF5. And they can often be on the ground for as much as 25 miles. And so this tornado in Alabama hit in Calhoun County, named for vicious slave owner John C. Calhoun, by the way. It was in Ohatchee, Alabama. And Shelby County, which, contrary to ABC News, is not the home of Birmingham. Birmingham's in Jefferson County. But Shelby County's nearby. Homes were completely destroyed, left nothing but piles of rubble. Cahaba Valley Fire Chief Barry Casey said a few folks were injured in the Eagle Point neighborhood of Shelby County. Pelham saw 30 to 50 homes blown away, but that number is very preliminary. And then, where I grew up, in Florence, flooding started, and a police officer got struck by lightning. He was readjusting a barricade in standing water and was hit by lightning. He suffered burns on his back, but he's expected to be okay. And the threat continues. They are tracking, of course, southwest and northeast as tornado cells do. There were tornadoes sighted at Moundsville, Alabama, near Tuscaloosa. Tuscaloosa got hit by a tornado 8 days ago. It's tornado season down in the tornado belt right now. Outside of Birmingham, there was a big old tornado at Vandiver. And Governor Meemaw, Kay Ivey, has issued a state of emergency for 46 out of Alabama's 67 counties. Meanwhile, this is, of course, another state that denies the reality of course, because, of course, climate change. Yeah. My heart breaks. I lived with those things in the early part of my life, and they're terrifying because there's not a goddamn thing you can do. Kyle says, "Well, Robin, come on. Biden's not the real president, so the president didn't actually have a press conference today. That's either a body double or Trump talking like Biden or something." How do they believe that shit? My brain hurts just from typing that. I know. But it's very much a reality. How do that? It beats the hell out of me. Yeah, well, you know, Joe Biden isn't president of the United States because the United States doesn't exist. The United States is a corporation because in 1870, the Supreme Court, in conjunction with the Rothschilds and the learned elders of Zion, they turned America into a corporation, and the republic has to be restored. So we can start inaugurating presidents on March 4th again. You think your head hurts, Kyle. Oh, my Jesus. Kyle adding, Robin, start whispering in the ear of the universe. I thought we all learned this past few years, especially the last year and a half or so. You mean stop whispering in the ear of the universe, Kyle? I don't want to get this wrong. Even CNN is fabricating crisis stories on the border. You saw this article, asks Flavio. Did CNN air a staged migrant crossing of the Rio Grande? But the scene may not be all that it appears to be. Immigrant rights advocates and others claim that the footage was staged, potentially with the cooperation of the Border Patrol. CNN was warned that the clip appeared to be a fabrication before it aired, but the network decided to run it anyway. Run it! A similar clip that appears to show the same or a similar trafficking incident from another angle was shared across right-wing media, and even the link to on the social media accounts of members of Congress. This clip went viral among immigration opponents and is helping to fuel the story of an out-of-control border. The video, legitimized on mainstream media, easily fit into that narrative. Now a series of charges and countercharges have demonstrated the radioactive politics of immigration. I think I saw that video. Oh, look, there's 17 of them right now crossing the Rio Grande. Helicopter footage or some such. And meanwhile, no one talking about this. And maybe it's because they're dressed in typical 2021 clothing. Maybe that's it. But none of these highly paid fucking geniuses from the multimillionaire for-profit media will discuss the fact that human beings have been traversing the continents for, oh my God, 10, 15, 20,000 years, depending on which archaeological record you believe. Because, you know, indigenous Americans didn't spring fully formed from the earth like Athena from the head of Zeus. They came here, too. They just got here a lot sooner than the white folks did. And they've been moving ever since. And so when I saw the footage, oh, look at all those migrants trying to cross into America and steal our lettuce picking jobs. Now back to Bill in the weather center, where a tornado has blown away a church in Tuscaloosa. It is the fundamental nature of human beings to move, whether as a result of changes in climate, that's happened. The Gauls went on the move in the first century BCE and before, as a result of climate changes up by the North Sea, some have pointed out, and as a result of pressures from other groups of people. That's the story of humanity. And in particular, it's the story of the Western Hemisphere. If, as some or most scientists believe, humanity entered North America via the Bering Land Bridge during the last ice age, then that means they dispersed across the continent and all the way down Mesoamerica and into South America over the course of those thousands of years. Along the way, domesticated maize. Along the way, invented a mathematical system that included the number zero that would not be come up with, that Eastern hemispherics wouldn't come up with for another 1,000 years or so. Managed to build pyramids without knowing about the value of pi, and left an archaeological record that can be found from Tierra del Fuego to Point Barrow. Movement is in the essence of this. After the Mayans wrecked their land by deforestation, they went on the move. Even if it was just to leave the cities. The Mexica people's origin myth is a myth of movement, saying that they came from a place called Aztlan and settled in the marshy, swampy areas of Lake Texcoco in the Valley of Mexico. My friends in the Anishinaabe country of northern Wisconsin, their origin myth says that the Creator told them to go west until they found the place where food grows on water. And so they stopped in what is now southern Canada and northern Wisconsin, northern Minnesota, and built a beautiful society based upon the abundant availability of what they called manumen and we call wild rice. Movement, 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 movement. But our, and this is left and right alike. More right than left, but both sides, and certainly most of the government, maybe Interior Secretary Deb Haaland doesn't hold to the idea that somehow the borders imposed by white conquering colonialists are anything but arbitrary expressions. But that's the fact. It's absolutely the fact. And then there's the other fact that we create most of these crises. And one of the things President Biden mentioned today was the fact that NAFTA, for as much as it's hated, NAFTA stabilized, to a certain extent, Mesoamerican governments so that people could stay home and work and live there and not come up here to live miserable lives of damn near poverty-driven slavery. It's just so complicated, isn't it? Thanks for that story, Flavio. Thanks for reminding me. Oh, and by the way, David in South Carolina says, tell Todd there was a small tornado over his way a little while ago. And that's a perfect segue because I've got Todd on the line right now. Hey, Todd.
Hey there.
How are you?
Well, I'm sans tornado, but it is a little gray and weird out right now.
Yeah, where the sky looks all bizarre and shit.
You know, the weather can change fast. That warm air hits the cold air, and it has been very, very warm today. You know, it was 87 degrees over in the capital city, as a matter of fact.
God almighty.
Yeah, I had to go over there today. Yes, I didn't know. I have to look on. As soon as I get off, I'm going to pull up the Weather Channel and see what's going on with this atmosphere, because I have a bad feeling. See, we never used to get tornadoes in this area for some reason. Like, all around us would get tornadoes, but I see with this climate change, they get closer and closer, you know, and, you know, it's not surprising.
No, no.
But
and they really do sound like freight trains.
And Dave, hey, how you doing, Dave? And, that has been on my mind, what you mentioned. I'm going to start more recent and then move back. But I was thinking the same thing. Like, migrants. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, this is what the Central Americans and South Americans have always been doing. Before we got here, this is what they did. You know, it's like that manufactured war with Mexico when they made the border and they started calling people wetbacks. It's only because they were just doing what they've always done for thousands and thousands.
It's fundamentally human. Go where the food is. Go where the people aren't shooting at you.
It's not hard to figure out, is it?
No. I mean, it really isn't.
So, yeah, but it's interesting. It's not like trying to give people a history lesson, like on national news, but, I mean, that's just a fact. I mean, that was Mexico. All the Southwest and Louisiana, all that shit was Mexico. Mexico went all the way up because it's where people went. They moved with the season. And then following peyote, too, that was part of it. I mean, for some of the people, you know. but that's all. I'm not to get into all that. But, what is this business? Is the red tide that powerful where it can just wash out the electronics at the NPR station in Alabama and they can't carry a president's news conference?
Alabama? West Virginia.
Oh, it was West Virginia.
It was my public radio.
That takes a hell of a lot of nerve. How does that shit work?
Beats the hell out of me. Maybe it's maybe there was an order came down because, you know, maybe make West Virginia great big old Governor Jim Justice said, now in no way, shape, form, or fashion do I want you broadcasting anything from President Biden, because everybody knows he ain't really the president. I know. My bad.
Okay. No, I'm just trying to figure this shit out. Then this president that we're talking about has not given this is his first real in some unprecedented amount of time. It set a record, I believe. I don't know. I think that's what I've been reading, hearing. Is that what you know to be true?
No, I think you're right.
So, okay. So, it doesn't matter who you voted for. It's the president.
Yeah, I mean, what matters is that more people voted for him than voted for the guy who killed 300,000 plus Americans.
That's the other problem.
Oh, and by the way, David tells me that in the Carolinas there's a storm front running from Winnsboro to Charlotte.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I can see where that, right. There's Newberry and he's going across. Oh, those poor folks. They don't need that. Nobody needs that. Oh, it's getting dark. Holy cow.
Sky kind of turning the color of a bruise that's been there a couple of days, kind of greenish blue and black and, yeah.
Yep. Yep. Got that smoky, yep. Yep. There it is.
Yeah, we're expecting it to hit us to one degree or another later this evening. We've got about a 70% chance of thunderstorms at 3 o'clock in the morning. Looks like between 2 and 5, it's going to be nasty-ish.
Hope your power doesn't go out.
Yeah, that's two of us. But I just paid my crazy-ass power bill, so odds are it will. This time of year, you pay the power bill, then a storm comes along and the power goes out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's different. I don't know about you, but we have local private. It's private. People who run the power and water, it's private. And I probably shouldn't say this, but it's always been private. So some of this shit you see on the movies and TV and in books, it's real. About how you can, you know, you control people if you control the land, the power, the water.
Sure. And, by the way, people are worrying. Steve in New York just asked, if it gets ugly, do you have somewhere you can take cover?
That's a good question.
Or are you just a hard-ass like Richard Blystone was back during Bush War I, standing on that rooftop in Jerusalem when they said, Richard, we hear the sirens going off. Don't you think you should take cover? And Richard Blystone was standing there just as phlegmatic as ever and, with his, you know, Bush jacket on and his hat. And he said, well, Wolf, you know, I think if a Scud missile's going to get me, it's just going to have to get me. Are you that kind of hard-ass, Todd?
No, I'm not. But I'm saying the water table here is such that unless you live in a really special place, there's no basements. So the best I could hope for, I have access to a structure that should be safe. But, you know, these trees do go down around here.
Oh, hell yes, they do. Especially when the ground gets really, is the ground good and sloppy?
No, but that has happened. And it's, I mean, it happens all over. It killed a little boy last year. It's killed a number of children, that what you're talking about, right? Especially the pine trees, because they get really tall because you have had all this rain, and they shoot up, and they have a shallow root system. That's what you mean. Well, different trees.
Yeah, when the ground no, but when the ground gets really good and sloppy wet, it's like it's right. like you know, storms come through and uproot trees like a little kid pulls wild onions out of the ground. Just bloop, pop right out.
And they pop right out, and the root ball comes up. Oh, there, yep, there's that. Oh, that will be a damn. Oh, that will be a great picture. The sky, there's one, like, cumulonimbus-looking white puffy cloud. Well, not really. Yeah, it's a rain cloud because it's dark on the bottom, but then the rest of them are smoky. Wow, what a picture. But see, the topography changes quickly around here. I think that's why we don't get tornadoes, because it goes up, like we're on a hill, but it goes up a lot more above us, and it goes down a lot more below us. It gets swampy. We got these Carolina Bays and this and that. But I don't know, man. I'm not even worried about it. There's so much other stuff going on. You know what? With the virus and everything else, I can't. It's too much going on, man. I'm telling you, these people are pissed off around here.
What are they pissed off about? Because Biden's president?
Yeah, all that. They can't stand that money. They don't. Boy, I'm telling you, they have lost their fucking minds.
Let me guess. They took their stimulus checks and went and bought a gun.
That's right.
$1,400, fella can buy a pretty good fella can buy an AR-15 and a new flat screen TV.
That wasn't Biden. Trump did that. Trump done put that in motion before Biden came in.
Yeah, it's just we wouldn't be having no vaccines if it wasn't for Trump, and Biden's up there taking credit for getting all them vaccines and all them arms. It would have happened anyway, even if Trump been here. And you know what? It's just like we said, COVID's going away because the election is over.
On the odd chance
that you think I'm kidding, and I know you don't.
No, you're not kidding. You're not kidding.
Haley in Arkansas sent a picture along from, or a news story along from the mayor of Orange Beach, Alabama. And Orange Beach, down there on the Redneck Riviera, I'm real fond of the place. Beautiful. But KARK.com carried the story as a national news story, saying from WKRG, spring break isn't over yet. Concerts at the Wharf are coming back, and it's almost summertime. Orange Beach is about to get packed. And so Mayor Tony Cannon, Todd, said, "In Orange Beach, it's just important for us to get back to normal, to get back to living our lives and not living in fear. We've turned into a bunch of snowflakes and cupcakes, and it's time to get a spine and say enough's enough, and let's go back to living. Yeah, the virus is real, and it's very deadly for a segment of our population." You know, the segment of the population that it's deadly for is the people who get killed by it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but we know what that population is. That population needs to be protected, vaccinated if they wish. But the rest of us who are not high risk should not be locked down, should not be wearing masks, should be in school, should be doing everything we should be doing. Greater men and women have suffered far worse than us for a greater purpose of preserving our nation, our freedoms, our prosperity, our guns, and our future. No, I added the our guns part. And so despite the fact that the CDC's out there saying exactly what Paul from Parts Unknown told us a couple of nights ago, namely, don't treat the vaccine as your first line of defense, treat it as your last line, wear your mask, maintain your social distance, and we will stop this damn thing.
Right.
Well, Mayor Tony Cannon of Orange Beach, he ain't going to stop shit. He wants his beaches packed butthole to belly button with spring breakers drunk out of their mind and spewing all over each other and occasionally vomiting on the beach and hollering, "I love you, man." And then, in the ultimate expression of right-wing libertarianism, he said, if they're concerned about the bars, the best one to protect them is themselves. So we have no collective obligation one to another. That whole Matthew 25 thing about if you've done it unto the least of these, my brothers, you've done it also unto me. Fuck it, Jesus. He didn't have no conservative values. He's probably a commie.
You know, what's interesting to me is that, and I didn't hear Paul, but Paul always brings something. Obviously, he brings not something. He brings, like, solid data to the table. But, you know, what is interesting and frightening is that masks work. These people act like they never saw a fucking surgical mask. Like, you've never been at the goddamn hospital, huh? You never saw anybody wear a fucking mask.
Right.
You never looked at maybe, like, BBC and see, well, people in Asia have been wearing masks, like, forever. When they get sick, they stay in the house, and if they have to go out, they wear a mask.
Right, yeah. No, but see, down there, Mayor Tony Kennan down there in Orange Beach, Alabama, when they do surgery down there, usually the surgeon's got a chaw of tobacco, and he's probably dripping a little tobacco juice there while he got your guts open. And it don't, you know what, that tobacco juice, that'll actually kill some bugs and stuff. It's good for you.
Oh, you mean down at the Andersonville Clinic?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Jesus, I hate that. I hate that I can channel these fuckers so easily. We're going to breathe now, Todd.
Yeah, that was good. You set that up. But, I mean, so just the whole man, I know I...
Give him a swig of whiskey and bring me my bone saw.
Oh, shit. It's the truth, though.
Yes, it's the truth.
These fuckers need to go to the little mash tent when they get sick. No, we don't need to waste our time. They don't go inside. No, they were in the parking lot in the little mash tent.
There needs to be a law that if Mayor Tony Cannon of Orange Beach gets hurt and needs medical treatment, nobody wears masks.
Nobody wears.
And they ain't going to be, they'll give him a swig of whiskey, but ain't going to pour no swig of whiskey on that kitchen knife they're going to open him up with. Might even use a rusty one. What's a little rust? I mean, that's iron oxide. Oxide's oxygen. Oxygen's good for you.
That's right. That's why Rush died. He ain't getting up out. Don't you want to smash your son?
Yeah, if they'd only operated on him with a rusty scalpel, he might be with us here today.
You'd be watching too much of that liberal news.
Goddamn liberals. Don't want to go to the beach and don't want to go. My God, do you realize what's happened to the economy of Orange Beach? What with all the spring breakers not coming down to the Floribama Lounge, and they didn't come in October for the mullet toss. Damn it! It's America.
And my daughter was supposed to get knocked up this week. Man,
wait, hold on. Wait, was that? And my daughter was supposed to get. Oh my God.
He was counting on that. She done perked near 18.
That's for the perked near 18. She been an old maid since 16. We may not never get her married off.
They already think she out there anyway because she will commit. Oh, God. Look, that was kind of funny, actually.
Sorry, I didn't mean to take us off on that tangent, Todd. I apologize profusely.
No, but look, you painted the picture of all the schmarlicking and the lollygagging and the passing of disease and pathogens on this beach. And, look, we have fatigue. People are tired. It's nice out now. Come on, 87 degrees
yeah.
today.
You
but
kidding?
I'm no fucking joke.
Something has happened to me. And I don't think it's because I got my first ouchie. It's just it warmed up, and you know I have to go and put gas in the car. I did this yesterday when I took Ferg to work. He went on into the Rippy Mart and you know, I got out and I sashayed on into the store and got my hand on the door handle of the store and kind of looked up and went, something ain't right. Son of a... No mask. And turned around and went back to the car to get my damn mask. I've done that more in the last week than I've done in the last 6 months.
You had the windows down, the music on, and you were like, it felt normal.
Yes.
Maybe
hell, I had the little sunroof open. I had wind coming in the windows and wind coming in the roof. And it was pleasant and it was nice and shit.
Well, this is, and I know it's beautiful. It's beautiful, everyone. However, do you know this week I've had patrons from Montana, Alaska, North Carolina. You almost name a state. So we have to remember that it's nice out, but we have to be very careful because last time, you know, when I say last time, I'm talking about, you know, 1916, 17, 18. It took about 3 years for that virus to go around the world, around the earth. And I'm not sure I know this is a novel virus, and I'm not sure that that virus was that novel. It might have been, because I don't know if you've been privy to that or looked at that research where the folks are thinking now it came from dung from the Midwest during, you know?
Yeah.
Well, okay, right.
Yeah, so, that's why I call it the filthy white Kansas pig farmer flu.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Right, exactly. You know, right. And then they went into World War One. So, you know, this mask thing, it's not, I'm used to it now. And it's just a good idea around people. You know, I mean, air and mask, it's just, this thing is not over. And I think it's going to be, like you said, we're going to have a vaccine every year or two or maybe more because it's new. And the mutations create variants, and you know, there's no way around that.
Well, and speaking of variants, you know, I had the story a few nights ago that like 30-40% of the new cases now are from the UK variant. I guess that would be the Dirty Englishman variant. Because you know we got to name it after people like they're personally responsible, you know, group culpability, but. I did not get the body of it because I went click and it was gone. But India has apparently identified a strain of it that is a, wait for this, double variant, Todd.
Mm-mm. Mm. Mm-mm.
Yes. Oh, by the way, Darlene picked up on me sashaying into the Rippy Mart. You sashayed in? Were you all glammed up and striking a pose when pumping that gas air, Robin? You work it, woman. All right, Darlene, I'm going to send you a picture from last night.
See, I hadn't seen any pictures yet. I'm still, this whole thing is still is settling in, Robin. I have to get used to, you know, whatever. It's just, you know, change takes time.
Yeah, it does. So, by the way, we got a question from David in South Carolina, Stan, subject line AR-15, your neighbor there, David. Y'all think I should buy me an AR-15? I was going to buy a nice new little PA system with my stimulus. I don't know. I think the zombie apocalypse is coming, David. I get me an AR-15 as high as you. Can't never have too many AR-15s. Joe Biden going to get your guns. Just ask that senator from South Dakota. Come and take it. Which, by the way, as Brother Deacon Asa pointed out earlier in the program, that whole moron lave, whatever it is, that didn't work out so well for the folks who said come and take it because the Persians came and took it. That being the Battle of Thermopylae.
Them Persians didn't play around.
Yeah, I mean, long before the alien in the first Men in Black said, your offer is acceptable. The Persians said that to the Greeks, too. And, come and take it. All right, we'll do that.
We'll do that.
Oh, and by the way, Jude in the Great Northwest sent us a picture, you and me, of a beautiful, beautiful cloud-speckled blue sky above her home. She said, "That's my home sky."
Damn, that sounds good.
No, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. Spring's coming to Washington State, too.
Uplifting.
Oh, and by the way, the variants are attacking young people. You know, Mayor Tony there in Orange Beach said, "You know what? We know who the population at risk is, and they're responsible for protecting themselves. So don't none of y'all get none of them variants when you wander out onto the beach there at Orange Beach. Don't y'all do that. You know why he wants the tourists down there? Money, of course, money. But I bet you the Orange Beach Police Department makes about 2/3 of its budget during spring break writing DUIs against college kids.
Oh, that's some good money there. Yeah,
that's good. That's big dollar.
That's trickle down money too, because that keeps the city attorney working and it keeps the detention center going and all that kind of stuff.
And Jeremy pointed out that about Mayor Tony. I don't know about you, but I could feel him wanting to scream out, "Jesus had it worst."
Jesus Christ. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
I know.
You know, but wait a minute. See, a lot, I've heard this, and you've heard it too. Just like Trump said, I know it, you know it too. You know, at the end of the day, a lot of these folks are hardcore Pentecostal or Southern Baptist, and they believe that when it's my time, it's my time. It's God's will. So that's the fallback position. So they don't worry about it. They're like, I'm tired. I don't give a fuck. I'm going out. They don't care about anybody else.
Nope.
See, that's the problem here. We got a whole lot of people who are not going to be vaccinated ever.
I am going to go to brunch, and I'm going to drink me a bunch of mimosas, and I don't care about no goddamn virus. I need a mimosa.
That's it. That you need the mimosa and you want to breathe, and I can't, right.
Yeah.
And I can't, yeah. People are tired. Now they got a couple bucks in their pocket, and this shit's about to blow the fuck up.
I can't drink no mimosa and eat no shrimp, no shrimp cocktail with no mask on, no face diaper.
Shrimp cocktail. What a waste of shrimp. Whatever happened to scampi?
I know. But you know how I feel about it. Well, it's more oysters than shrimp, but I do not put cocktail sauce on my raw oysters anymore. Just don't do it. Mm-mm. No, it's that. Oh, I never can remember the word. It's French, but it's like balsamic vinegar and finely minced shallots and tarragon and black pepper. And if you're like me, you crumble up a few chili tepines in it just to bring a little whip to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I use that instead of cocktail sauce now, always. And I had one of those that was made with clementines. Not clementines, no. They grow down on the golf course. They're like little tangerines. They're like clementines, but satsumas. And, oh, man, you want to talk about good. Isn't it surprising how well chili pepper goes with citrus?
Yeah.
Pineapple and chili pepper, orange and chili pepper,
I hope someone sends you a Trader Joe's version of that. It's called it's a powder, and it's got all those like fruity ingredients, mango, some citrus, and that, you know, it's sweet and hot, and the chili.
Ooh, I love that.
Man, I'm telling you, it on a grill, just any kind of grilled meat, it is. It comes out when you grill it. You got the flavors open up.
Well, you know how it is with me and that Kroger Private Selection brand.
Sure.
I got a jar here of pineapple. I got a jar here of pineapple jerk salsa.
Mmm.
Get right on out of town. And even though I'm changing my diet, ain't no starch and carbs in this, and I can have all I want except for the sugar.
Well, see, let me ask you something, because I make a point. Now, I've said this before, but just fortunately, the Trader Joe's, the only one near here, is just up the street from a Kroger. And this Kroger has, sometimes they have the day-old bread, which is never day-old. It's just, I don't know why they call it day-old. There's nothing wrong with it. But at any rate, their bread, their private selection, you can get, has no corn syrup. It's excellent bread. This is like almost Pepperidge Farm quality. It might be Pepperidge Farm quality. Wide pan. You've seen it. You have that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we're not trying to do product placement because I don't think they're giving you any remuneration. But look, you can't go wrong getting that bread. There's no way around that. And I know other people might want to talk to you, but I have a question about these double variants in India. Because that's crazy. That's the roulette wheel. That's fucking death.
Well, when you got two variants, that's two variants you got to worry about. I know that sounds simplistic, but all of these vaccines are predicated on one spike, more or less on one spike protein. And, well, I mean, I said it a long time ago. I think we're going to be vaccinating for a long, long time.
A long time. You did. You said that early on. Yep. And that's the only way I see it. I mean, and it's still not going to get everything. We have all these stories now. Minnesota, because I've been, that was the other thing. I've been following this jury selection for the Chauvin trial. And let me say this. The Star, you got the, that newspaper, I always read the newspaper when something big has happened in the city. You got to pick up the paper. And that's how I started reading the St. Louis paper. It's actually very good. But anyway, back to Chauvin. That is a live trial. If you go to the Star, Minneapolis Star, that's not the name of it, but you just type in Minnesota News and Minneapolis, you'll figure it out. Anyone will figure it out. But it's Star. Anyway, so they have the live feed to the trial and the jury selection. And day 12, this morning, their numbers of hours long. You can play it while you work or whatever. That's what I was doing. I was working and listening to it. This first juror, he sounded like he was a total, total Rush Limbaugh fan. He said, yeah, when I'm driving in my truck and the media tells us how to think, I'm like, oh, he's been listening to Rush Limbaugh. And, of course, his ass got struck. But they let him just say his truth. And, boy, oh, boy, I'm going to tell you something. We got a whole lot of work to do.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's an interesting process, that jury selection process. It is just absolutely just totally interesting how people perceive things.
And there are and tucked away within the jury selection process are innumerable ways to cheat. And speaking of juries and whatnot, I mentioned it last night. If you got Netflix, you gotta watch the trial of Chicago 7.
I was
just riveted by it the other night. Mm-hmm. Everybody is awesome in it. And it blew my mind.
Good?
It's fantastic. It blew my mind when I realized who was playing Abby Hoffman.
Who?
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh, no way!
Way.
He's not in a serious role?
Yes.
How long is it?
It's probably a little over an hour and a half or so.
Oh, okay. I think I can manage that. Well, I'm glad you said something, because there's so much they have out there, you can't watch everything, you know. And you just can't watch everything. Turner's been putting out some good things lately.
Well, this one will absolutely knock your socks off. There's not a bad performance in it. And the two guys, like I said last night, the two guys who play Bobby Seals and Fred Hampton,
uh-huh.
Holy shit, what a performance. and to realize that this stuff, these are things that actually happened.
Oh, yeah.
When, you know, when Judge Julius Hoffman has Bobby Seals bound and beaten, bound and gagged in the courtroom and asks him, will you behave now, nod your head yes or shake your head no, and he very slowly shakes his head, no, I will not. Wow.
Yep. 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 You know, he's got a Philly connection. Bobby Seale does. And he didn't end up in California. I mean, he's from the east side. He's from the east side of the country. I've been in the bar with him a couple times, and he's real subdued now. He's tired of getting his ass kicked. He's just trying to make some money. Well, last time I saw him. But I understand. And you know what? Whatever that judge was, it sounds like he took notes. Well, it sounds like Judge Sabo, who was the judge in Mumia Abu-Jamal's trial, took notes because they chained him and gagged him, too.
Oh, yeah.
Chained him in chair. You know,
and the thing is, realistically, Bobby Seale had next to nothing to do with the violence that happened at the convention. He kept saying, "I was there for four hours. I gave a speech. That's it."
Right. He was just associated. He was associated. It's all about they didn't want that particular group of people to be together. That's all it was about.
Well, right, and they brought and he points out early in the film. They point out, you have attached Mr. Seals to this proceeding in order to inflame the fears of the jury.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Oh, by the way, a little bit of breaking news, Todd. I started the program, you know, talking about the odious Don't Let the Black People Vote bill in Georgia. Well, and at the time, the story said it was going to the Georgia Senate from the House. Well, it went through the Georgia Senate like shit through a goose. And it has now been signed into law by Brian Kemp.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Ari Berman reporting, Brian Kemp signs 95-page Georgia GOP voter suppression bill allowing GOP takeover of state county election boards, unlimited challenges to voter eligibility, restricting drop boxes and making it a crime to give voters food and water in line. It'll be challenged in court.
That's going to the Supreme Court. All this stuff is. And they're getting ready.
And, of course, when it goes up there, God only knows. Because remember, John, you know, old balls and strikes, John Roberts says there's no such thing as racism in America anymore.
Okay. And I can feel you need to go. But this, and this is one thing.
Oh,
I
no, no. I'm not in any hurry. No.
Well, okay, this is like a pivot on what you just mentioned, because it has to do with power structure and decisions. Now, look how quickly the topography, the complexion of the political, of the politics in terms of, you know, the judiciary has changed. John Roberts, he was the far right guy for a minute.
Well, he still is. He still is when he gets right down to it.
Well, sure he is. But he didn't expect all this. We said that before. I mean, you know, we said that. But this is getting crazy now. This is getting absolutely insane because these decisions, with all this going on, this is going to change the country forever. And the reason I bring it up like that, we look at these voter suppression, like, what? You can't give people water in line. What kind of fucking shit is that? How can that pass muster? How can that possibly? Because I can think of a million scenarios. What should a mayor say? Well, does that mean you can't give a homeless person water on the street if they're at a protest? I mean, there's a million ways you can attack this. That is a pumice stone argument. It is light in weight and full of holes.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a pumice argument. I'm going to remember that. Lightweight and full of holes.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
See? Right. These people, man, they're pontificating too much. You're not thinking this shit through. If you think hard enough, you can drive a hole through this shit. If people are willing to be honest and listen to positions. I don't always want to say arguments, but like, it is an argument. But yeah, come on. That's bullshit. Why should people have to wait 8 hours in line? People have to work. You know, like I don't know.
Well, if you got to work, you ain't got any business voting.
Well, don't go. Let's see.
I mean, I know that's sarcasm, but it's only sarcasm because it's you and me talking. It ain't sarcasm if it's a Republican talking. Again, I will restate my thesis that if they had their druthers, the Republican Party in America today would happily go back to the original requirements for voting of 1787. White male property owner.
White male property owner. Oh, okay.
And if the property owned happens to be some other human beings, groovy. It's sickening to say. It's disgusting to contemplate. It's un-American as fuck. And it is also real.
Okay. All right. See, now we're back on track. I mean, not we are back on track, but okay. So listen, that's in the proverbial basket. Let's leave that there.
Okay.
All this nonsense we're dealing with people still denying, even after, for some reason, now the Senate Intelligence Report about Russia. Now, all of a sudden, they got a breath of fresh air a couple of weeks ago, and they're like, oh, look. You know, but if you were paying attention, that shit came out months ago. You know, it was proven. And what party was aligned with the NRA? It wasn't Democrat, goddamn right.
No.
See? And Obama got rid of God knows how many spies right before he left, and they, you know, the spy folks had a troller right up on the East Coast, just close enough to get radio signals. You know, just like some Tom Clancy shit. So that's all true.
Yeah.
But let's look at the bigger picture. You know, we have to understand, and I hate to say it, but, you know, we're just being drug along. We're along for the ride. And there's a term called power brokers for a reason. Now, I really, this is just a theory. You know, this is a geopolitical theory I have. Now, the powers that be in our country and maybe a couple other places have made the decision that it's going to have to be Russia and the United States coalesced against China. Now, how else can you explain how quickly the shift came from the red commie being the enemy to our friend? I mean, in just light speed.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
It's just what I've been, you know, it just seems that way.
I mean, if you'll pardon me saying it, I think it's a freaking miracle you get to vote in South Carolina. And I know they don't make it easy. And again, if that was offensive, I apologize.
No, I understand what you mean. No, they would prefer I didn't. And I'm only okay. Like I'm saying, they will serve you coffee. Sometimes they have donuts where I vote because it's up, you know, Democrats are a minority in this voting precinct. This district, they call them districts. So my vote is so diluted, it doesn't matter. I don't have to wait. But I don't know if David had this experience. This week-long voting, that's the way to go. We had it, like, in an arena. Before they, you know, of course they changed the rules all the way through.
Well, yeah, that was so they could get rid of the votes they didn't like, you know, when it became necessary to do so.
Like my vote. Right. So my vote probably didn't even get counted. I don't know that it did, didn't.
I mean, you really didn't feel like you needed to have your vote counted, did you, Todd?
Well, it's about the process.
It's about the process. Yes, it's about the process. Absolutely. Oh, by the way, the stuff that you put on the oysters that I couldn't remember the name?
Yeah.
Mignonette. Mignonette.
Like filet mignon. Mignonette.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, red wine vinegar, salt, black pepper, crushed tarragon, and super finely minced shallots. You can just about drink that stuff.
You keep talking about oysters. Have you ever like traveled up from the south up on 95 and you get on the turnpike, the Jersey Turnpike, and you get around like Newark, well maybe not Newark, but the Meadowlands, and it's just swamp, and it kind of stinks. Kind of like out like Egg Harbor when you're outside of Atlantic City. But, you know, all the way up to Sheepshead Bay in Queens, man, those folks early on, they had more oysters than they could fucking eat. Like, it was just so plentiful. It was unbelievable. Like, you could be poor shit, but if you lived near the marsh, you know, you always had something to eat.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I did all my oyster eating from the Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, nothing like it. Heavenly. And, of course, we got a little place down in Charleston called, what is the name of that place? Anyway, it's a really, really good seafood place. Their oysters are flown in daily from Boston or from Massachusetts. Because, of course, there's no such thing as climate change. And why not burn some fossil fuels? Giving oysters and live oysters an airplane ride on ice from Massachusetts to Charleston, West Virginia. It's like lobsters in Las Vegas. I mean, come on, please.
Yeah, well, you got to do it. I mean, if you're going to eat, it's just we're in that kind of place now. But it will be different soon, somehow, some way. Somehow, some way, where people are rushing into space. Hey, listen, do you think how much? Challenge money left on the table.
The challenges are all filled up. We are at $504 to come up even with this evening. If we can get down under the $500 mark, we'll at least be we'll be under $800 for our Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracle.
Well, I heard Pitivo's beard is going for about $508, so I don't know.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I had a blast. I wandered over and had a nice little chat with John on and the gang on Sunday.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I heard him on the radio somewhere. He sounded great, man. It was a bunch of, you know, guys that do like you who do a show. I don't know what it was, but. So please continue. I'm sorry.
Oh no, no, I didn't mean to. No. That's all there was.
Well, I think the storm has passed, and all I can say is, you know what? We got. And I agree with you about. I can't believe the NPR in West Virginia did not carry the president.
It really did. It blew my mind. It was like, wait, because they're usually fairly responsible, but instead we got an Irish penny whistle and a fiddle.
Oh, that shit is fucked up. Boy, that says a lot. Damn, that's the fucking president.
Yeah.
They were jackass. Well, look, your friend Joe, man, he's maneuvering. He's trying to eat.
I thought he was brilliant today.
Oh, yeah, Joe. Absolutely. No, I totally agree with your assessment. Matter of fact, I was concerned at first, you know, for obvious reasons. But, I mean, come on, 78 is not that old, and he's got a lot to deal with.
Oh, he's apparently in great shape. He's in far better shape at 78 than COVID Caligula is coming up on 75. I don't know, how in God's name is that man not, Trump, how is he not fucking diabetic? Sedentary as hell.
I don't know what he is.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. They may be sticking an insulin needle in his belly, you know, every fucking morning and night. I don't know. But I just, I can't. From what we saw of him over those 4 years, shuffling and stumbling and lumbering. Maybe, you know, maybe he will. You know, but one of those, oh, God, that was the other stupid question I had tried so hard to forget about, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to run again in 4 years, and do you think your opponent will be Donald Trump?
Right. But Robin, I'm glad you brought that up. And because this is what I heard. I didn't watch it because I was out, you know. And I was so impressed because he, like you said, he was ready. He was ready to answer with facts. And when he needed to get emotional, he did. And when they brought up about running again, he got tough. He was tough when he needed to be tough. And he said that, that was the truth, though. You see, what he told was the truth.
Yeah. And I love the way he framed things. He said, you know, I know y'all got to have headlines or whatever it was that he said. But he said, you know, I said I was coming. I was doing this job for the American people.
That's what I was hired
and
for.
And that's what I was hired for. And you know what? The organized labor folks, if they're not just crazy mad schoolgirl crush in love with Joe Biden right now, they got some seriously misplaced priorities, because nobody, Todd, has ever been as vocal a proponent of union membership. My God, the little disquisition he gave today on what union membership does for America, I've never heard a president say anything that strongly, ever.
We've not heard that in our lifetime. Even Carter didn't do that.
I mean, there was... I don't think Joe Biden 20 years ago would have been this president.
That is what... Exactly. See?
This is a man who has matured into the capability for the job.
Yes. He has... We're talking about a 78-year-old white guy, right? Who... He grew up scrappy, which you better understand, right? It's going to give him a certain sense of sensibility most times. Sometimes not, but most times. Gets his education, you know, moves up through politics. Because remember, I'm from that area of the country, right? So, you know, everybody knows Joe. That's Philly. So, come on, Delaware, Wilmington, that's 30 miles. That's nothing.
Yeah, that kind of blew my mind when I was driving. You know, it's like, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, you'll get a kick out of this. This is just a little piece of trivia from last night's conversation with Lamar the Magnificent. He said, "Have you ever seen white mud?" And I said, "Not that I can think of." But back in the day, it was said, and I think this was back when baseballs were covered in horsehide and not cowhide. But back in the day, it was said that baseballs were all rubbed with Delaware River mud.
Mm.
Now, maybe that's apocryphal, maybe that's an urban legend, but it was, you know, specifically Delaware River mud.
I don't know.
That's like the old recipe for pencil leads. Was said to be graphite and Madagascar clay. Huh?
You know, clay soil is funny. Clay, it's funny you brought up clay, and it's totally not what we're talking about. But what few people know, like right where I live, there are deposits of kaolin type of clay, which what is what you need to make porcelain. It's a different type of clay. To get that fine porcelain, and this in the new world, like this is in 1740, you know, back then. So this is Bartlam, John Bartlam, not Bartram, but Bartlam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, John Bartram's birthday was the other day. I think it was the 23rd.
Did you have cake?
We had cake.
Wow.
Blows my mind to think all of my not just Agnes, but all my children are related to him. How cool is that?
Damn, that's some shit. You got to go. Nancy, don't get me off on this tangent. Man, you have no choice.
Well, I mean, I went. It's Agnes I want to take there. Bartram's Gardens.
Well, that's better.
And by the way, they have put in, I saw a post the other day. Bartram's Gardens is in the process of constructing a dock for kayakers. You know, this is where you can balance to get into your kayak and stuff. They're building a dock for kayakers and canoes and stuff there on the Schuylkill at Bartram's Gardens.
Oh, my God. It's going to be beautiful.
And to kayak the Schuylkill, I mean, that'd be fantastic.
I'm not surprised. They're really doing a good job with that part.
And the poor old Schuylkill's been cleaned up considerably, hasn't it?
When I was going up, my God, the stench, it was awful. Like, literally, like, because you got to remember, people live in row houses. And you know, you get freed up, you go out to the park, which is expansive. Fairmount Park is, like, all over the place. It's all spread out. And, you know, you can find your little spot that would have your little freedom. You know, you have your little grill, and the police don't bother you unless you're killing somebody or something. You know, everything's fine. So, that's a good thing.
That was before the days of the Karens and barbecuing while black, right?
Well, yeah, it kind of was mostly black folk. Well, mostly, you know, because back then it was pretty segregated, even though it was, you know, Philly's a segregated city. And, has been. It's changing now, but I mean, that was all planned out. But back to that clay, I think I've heard that, the Delaware clay. That might have been on that baseball documentary with Ken Burns. I'm not sure, but I think I've heard that.
But that was just something that popped into my mind during that conversation, because it was said to be like a very pale mud. I don't know. Maybe that was back when Major League Baseball was very pale itself.
Mm, that's true, too. I mean, who knows with that? Well, how was your shot?
All good. Just totally stoked for next week.
I mean, I know you talked about it, but...
Nasty little headache for a couple of days and then gone. Now it's just, you know, shit's blooming all over the place and I can't quit sneezing. I don't think that's COVID.
2 days? You had a headache for 2 days?
Yeah. It started the evening I got the shot on air, and then the next day, later in the day, it was just like a lightning bolt flashing from the back of my head to the front.
Holy shit.
I just screwed up something fierce. Somebody was on the stress line. I wanted to bring them in, and you and I got going. Hey, if you were there, I'm sorry, I was dippy and forgot about it, but if you want to come back, that's cool. By the way, Steve in New York, with an observation on what we were talking about with Joe Biden, Todd, said, it's quite simple. He's doing what presidents do. You know, real presidents. But the thing that came across to me today was, I can't talk about the common decency of Rutherford B. Hayes or Grover Cleveland or any of those dudes. But he just exuded a decency that I have never seen. It wasn't what we experienced with Clinton, and with respect, it was not the vibe I got off of Barack Obama.
No.
Exactly. I mean, am I wrong in that?
No. And I'm so glad you brought me, because you know, I'm a tangent man. Yes. Right. See, the sincerity. Like,
yes, that was the sincerity. The sincerity.
He's just a real... See, think of all what he had to go through. This is an old white guy. And this is not against white people or nothing, but that's just base facts that a lot of white folks go through life and they never have to understand what it's like to be somebody else. They're not forced to even understand that at all. So it you know, for a lot of people, it's a long bridge to cross, and they'd rather not be bothered, or they don't have to be bothered, or whatever. Lots of reasons. However, he had to be bothered because he's a politician. He wasn't always like that.
No.
Remember, he called Barack Obama neat and clean early on. And I'm telling you, when he became acquainted and then the vice president under Obama. That changed him. And remember, his wife works at a community college. She's around regular folks.
Yeah, exactly. And
when you're,
I mean, the right. only in my living memory, the only president I can remember being as decent and sincere as Joe Biden, and I hope it's not, I hope I'm not jinxing him by saying this because I love and respect the man, Jimmy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
And he may be more so. I mean, I was just, maybe I'm sounding like a pathetic little fangirl, but you know, I was blown away by it.
I totally agree. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
I mean, I've never seen a CEO like that. I've never seen an American politician like that, with the possible exception maybe of, like, you know, Paul Wellstone.
Imagine what he must be thinking after seeing January 6th and understanding how much time of his life he spent there at the Capitol to see what he saw, and having seen a black president and see all this shit.
If you take the job seriously, you cannot have seen January 6th. And not been absolutely infuriated. And that's why I keep hollering that we need a special counsel. And, you know, as I've noted, my idea has evolved from we need a special counsel for all of it,
mm-hmm.
to we need a special counsel whose only job is to cold trail and bird dog every human being who had a hand in making it happen on the upper levels. And
you got it right.
Yeah, and pursue justice with a righteous, furious vengeance.
See, you being circumspect with your language. What you mean is the lawmakers and the particular head. Because remember, they're...
The Republican Attorneys General Association and all of those sleazy PACs, every last fucking one of them, everybody needs to do time. And by the way, I've got Jude on the line, and I'm going because she wanted to just join in on the conversation, and I did not mean to ignore the phone. Sometimes I just space out because the screen goes dark and I forget there's somebody there, but that's all excuse making. I just apologize. I'm going to bring Jude on in a second, but David in South Carolina, Stan, just sent me a shocking photo.
Uh-oh.
An African-American lawmaker from Georgia tried to attend the bill signing. Her Twitter handle is @Cannon for 58. A member of the Georgia House of Representatives from the 58th District of Georgia was arrested and dragged away with a hand around her neck for trying to watch Brian Kemp sign that odious bill. I mean, this is, as Ari Berman pointed out on Twitter, this is straight up Jim Crow. And I don't know if you caught that with Biden today. He said, we've gone from Jim Crow to Jim Eagle.
Yep.
That is shocking to me. I guess it shouldn't be. Maybe my white privilege is showing, but it is shocking to me.
Well, was she engaged in disorderly conduct?
That's not the way Ari Berman describes it. Trying to watch Brian Kemp sign new voter suppression bill. She's got a mask on. It even coordinates with her jacket. That was unnecessary, but
what?
Apparently, she wasn't doing shit except trying to watch it, and out she went. And you know what? What if she said, this is a racist bill? What if? That amounts to a government suppression of her right to free speech. You know, this isn't some this isn't some aggrieved Karen being thrown out of a Trader Joe's because she won't wear a mask and says, but First Amendment, Trader Joe's is not the federal government, Todd. Georgia, however, is the state government, and by operation of the 14th Amendment, the Constitution applies, the Constitutional Bill, the Bill of Rights and the whole Constitution applies to government, the state governments as well.
Well, that's a very symbolic event, because that says you don't belong here. That says that we don't want you to be the stereotypical.
You are, yeah, you are not welcome here.
You're not welcome here. This is not your place.
Right. Hey, let's bring Jude in. Hey, Jude, I'm so sorry, dear. I did not mean to leave you. My sincere apologies.
That's all right. That's okay. I have to breathe with that last piece that you just brought up. And thank heavens that you still have a sense of being shocked, because if we're not shocked, we're in trouble. That means that you're awake, you know, Robin. But I wanted to say hello to my two favorite people. If Todd, you are my kindred spirit. And I wanted to give a shout out to Kevin, who's a very dear friend of mine. And if Alma is listening by chance, I would very much appreciate being able to connect with her.
I haven't heard from Alma in a while. I hope she's okay. I'm glad you brought her name up.
Well, you know that one of the times that I called. Pardon?
Thank you, dude. It was so nice to hear your voice. I'm out.
Oh. Well, I've been working on my limbic system since you helped me back in the summer. It just activates on its own. But, you know, I've been able to embrace it because it's, I sense, you know, it's up in the brain, obviously, but it also connects with that heart chakra of mine. And I think I've been able to really embrace and hold on to the fact that it's not nervousness that comes. It's just a sense of, it's not even urgency, but just wanting to reach out and connect with people. And like I had shared with Robin quite a few months back, that usually when I speak with people, it's just, you know, on the phone, it's just the two of us. So it's a whole different forum. But I felt like I was coming home with both of you talking. So, hey.
Hey, Jude. Wow, that should be a song.
That should be a song, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I've had some really wonderful things occurring in my life, and I think the essence of it comes from the peace bands, and kind of to, not to shift the conversation, but I started working again, and I didn't go back into nursing. I'm a housekeeper for a huge warehouse that sells sporting equipment, and it is probably would be when I go and kind of clean stations and the restrooms and the areas where people eat. It's like my heart be still. It's an exquisitely wonderful experience. And these people that work there are so contemplative that every day I wake up and I can hardly wait until I get in there to start cleaning and scrubbing and just being among people that have a kind of a higher consciousness. And you can feel them resonating. And when I listen to the two of you talk, even though sometimes it has to be kind of hard because the subject matter demands that of us, I always have that sense of like coming back home again. And, you know, it makes me feel very, very grateful. So I just wanted to share that with you.
I'm so glad you did. You bring a precious spirituality to the conversation, Jude. You truly do.
Well, you know, you mentioned about Jimmy Carter. You know, I get Christmas cards from him and his wife, and I have one next to my bed. You know, and when you mentioned someone that has, you didn't use the verbiage, you know, integrity and such, but I kind of gleaned that from how honorable you were when you spoke about him. When I lived in Fremont, which is outside Seattle, it was was a very, very eclectic community. In fact, decades ago, they had requested from the United Nations that they be considered the center of the universe, because that's how they felt that their origins came from. Well, I lived there for 10 years, and I took care of a laundromat, and I always had the boots and flowers, and we just, it was a community of people that were artists and songwriters and just a whole bunch of, you know, wonderful different fields that they worked in. And there was a glass blower there, and I forget his name, but I would go in there with Gabrielle and we'd say hello, and he'd let us come back and watch as they'd create these, you know, mystical pieces of glass and entwine colors and dimensions and such. Well, one time I went in, and he was boxing up some items for someone, and he said, "Do you want to see them?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd love to." And they were small little pieces, all different. Well, they were shipping them on to Jimmy Carter's center, and they were gifts that they had, or they were going to give out to the volunteers. And he let me pick up and hold several of them. So I have this deep affinity with Jimmy Carter and his wife, and just like I have with, you know, with the two of you. As my tears come, I don't know why that is. It just is, you know, it's just part of who I am.
It's cleansing.
Thanks. I hope so. I hope so. And this new place I'm in, you two, they love me. It is so enchantingly, it is so beautiful that, you know, when I go in, I kind of do this preparation each day, and I park my car, and I'm doing some research to find out where this huge warehouse has been built, because the soil of it has to have some kind of history to it, because it's so just profoundly opening and, like you said earlier, cleansing. Every day when I come in and then when I leave, it's like part of me is so much better, so much more refined. And I'm standing out in my backyard in my garden picking up all sorts of things from a windstorm we had. So, and then I hear, Bob, that when you and Todd were talking, that article on the Ninth Circuit, had you brought that up?
No, I saw it come in. I hadn't had a chance to digest it.
Yeah, I think that's pretty remarkable that they're supposed to be one of the judges really has given a pretty burning response to what, you know, to the Second Amendment. And they concluded that, yes, there is a Second Amendment right, but it belongs in your home. And I love that. I thought, you know, it's about time they come up with something. It's like our perceptions end at the end of our nose. You know, what else is out there becomes, you know, someone else's. And it's the ability to kind of acclimate and adjust to everything around us. So.
Yeah.
You guys are so, you're so quiet. Am I too much?
No. We're listening.
Oh.
I'm listening. Hey, I'm listening.
Well, you always.
Yes.
Forgive me, Todd. You always listen. You're very, very good. You're a very good listener.
Well, thank you, Jude. And all I can say is that you have no idea how much people appreciate your input into this conversation, the community. Bob doesn't exaggerate. I don't exaggerate when I say that about you and the things that you've written and said. And, you know, it's just, it's good. You know, highly actualized people vibrate at a higher level.
Yes. Yes. And for some reason, I have been so extraordinarily blessed. I went back because I had to, it's for my property taxes. And I have, you know, more than I probably deserve. But to find something, you know, at 72 that is so quintessentially purifying and good and healthy, you know, it's very humbling. But every time I'm in there and I'm cleaning the toilets and getting the men's restroom ready for them. And, you know, it's the simple things, the things often that one doesn't necessarily talk about when we have our own daily jobs that we do. I remember, Todd, when you had brought up about that research that ended up getting into the Limbrick system. You know, that was during when the Boots and Flowers were being taken down to Portland. And that was not just a casual, easy thing to do. But it helped so much to be able to kind of adjust myself and come back and have that center core of who I am, not being intimidated or frightened or you've done a lot for me, and it's good, you know, just like Robin and Annette and so many of the Horn community. But we're in an interesting phase. We're in an interesting phase, and I just got my COVID 2 days ago, my first injection.
What did you get, Jude? What flavor?
The Moderna.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad that you sent this story about the Ninth Circuit case along.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite telling.
It is.
Because the folks at Courthouse News Service write that looking back on 700 years of legal history dating back to 14th century England, seven judges in the Ninth Circuit majority found overwhelming evidence the law has never given people an unfettered right to carry weapons in public spaces. And this is a hell of a... And one of the really amazing things out of this is that, they went all the way back to 1348 to the Statute of Northampton. Because, you know, those constitutional originalists, Jude, they love to do shit like this. So they went all the way back to 1348, the Statute of Northampton in merry old England. And they banned the carrying of weapons in fairs or markets or before the king's justices. But the real kicker here is that the judge who wrote for the majority in this was a judge by the name of J. Bybee.
Mm-hmm.
And he cranked out a 127-page opinion, and he's a George W. Bush appointee.
Yes, yes. Pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. The times are changing, you know, and it's dependent on each one of us, you know, to be conscious of it. And like you said, Todd, you know, paraphrasing, when we raise the level, that vibrational level we have, and align on that, things happen. They happen. But sometimes people forget to view that. They forget the simplicity of what it is when we simply connect and take a moment and just focus on something. And I know it probably sounds easy and mundane and such, but it's not.
No, it's work.
Lost.
Yeah, it's work.
It is. It's a lot of work. A lot of work. Oh, I'm glad that you read it.
I'm laughing because it's so true. We have to like hurt our back to go down so far. Okay, we have to connect somewhere because you have to connect somewhere. And I'm not laying pointing fingers. The way I said it may not have been right, but I think you guys understand what I mean.
Yeah,
that was commonality to build trust.
Well, and Jude, what you're saying is resonating with a lot of people. Darlene in Connecticut says, Jude is right. Todd is an excellent listener, and he sets the standard for the horn. That's true.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Look at you. Look at you listening.
Mindfulness.
Yeah. Be in the moment. Be here now, as the old text said. And Jeremy in Vermont said, Jude is a balancing voice for many of us who rage into that good night and welcome to the cleaning field. It's what I've, and welcome to the cleaning field, Jude. It's what I've done for almost 12 years now.
Mm. Mm-hmm. it's so easy to get lost in all of it, you know. It's finding that ether to breathe in, where the real oxygen for, like, our substance comes from. That's how I view it, very, very strongly. So absolutely. I love you guys' ether.
And it is returned to you, pressed down and shaken together, Jude.
Well, thanks, pal.
Jude,
thanks.
Jude, I'm almost flat, not almost, I am flabbergasted. Number one, by being able to talk with you, like, live, because of all the background and this, and, you know. And so that we all, you know, you said the C word, it's a community. And that means a lot, you know, and when we try to relate with folks that we don't necessarily agree with, I'm sorry, it's difficult. Like you say, it's a lot of work. But you can feel there's something to that old hippie thing, the vibe. I'm sorry, but we're all, it's like a Faraday cage. We operate on electricity. It you can't deny that. It's energy. There is an energy that's real. And people leave negative energy around. Some people are just negative. In fact, some people are psychic vampires, and they just suck the energy. You can feel it. It's just negative people. Mm-hmm. And it's not your fault. Maybe it is, but I'm getting off on a tangent. But you are so attuned. You have no idea the impact you have. Like, in other words, things can be going crazy on this program sometimes.
And they do.
No. And you'll submit something, and it will just cool everybody out. And, you know, you don't have the idea of the influence you have. And
well,
seriously, you're...
Well, when we talk, you know, I'm out in the yard right now. I'm in the front yard in my bare feet because it helps my limbic system. Just knowing the ground of where we are, and I often, you know, try to convey that, and sometimes I, you know, it pales in the ability to convey it completely. But even with women standing, you know, I have a woman that that's in bed right now that every time I take off, she aligns with the peace stand. You know, that's the ground of her being. It might seem, you know, minuscule, and yes, it is, but collectively, it's very, very powerful. And when you talk about energy, that's what we are, all these electrical currents, you know, everything that goes through us. And, you know, when I'm at work and I watch all these young people. I mean, I think that this company is a real challenger to Amazon in a whole different way, you know? I mean, they do such wonderful things. And, you know, I reside in the well of gratitude. And I'm very humbled and very grateful to be able to talk with the two of you and those that, you know, want to listen. And so thanks. Thanks, pal.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Jude. And we're going to go ahead and wrap up here because I'm still doing amateur Uber driver duties.
Oh, well, give Ferg my best.
I sure will.
And Annette also. I've been texting her and such, but there must be a lot going on. But I'll continue to, you know, try to reach her. And
Do please.
Thanks so much. Yeah. Be well, and thank you both.
Oh, thank you, Jude. And Todd, thank you very kindly for a fantastic conversation. I got a note from Clarence, your co-Philadelphian, who says, Todd's correct. The river has been revived, talking about the Schuylkill. There was a time you could see a toxic glaze on the surface. I remember attending concerts at the Dell, an amphitheater that sits adjacent to the river. You could smell the pollution circa 1960s.
Clarence, we have to talk about that. Wait, Bob, we got, Clarence, yes, that's all I can say. Don't get me started. Bob, you've been great. I did not know what I was in for to hear Jude up close and personal, live and direct.
she is definitely one of a kind. Absolutely.
My God. So this is as good as it gets.
I really think so. Todd, you have yourself a good evening. And well, tune in your local weather channel. And, you know, you can on your smartphone, you can get an app for NOAA Weather Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And you can set it to go off if the shit hits the fan. Might be worth doing.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I understand what you mean. Yep, that's a good idea.
I had it activated while I was down in Alabama.
Things are changing.
That they are. Todd, have yourself a good night, my friend.
Peace, my brother.
All right, later. Bye now. And so we come to the end of the program. Looks like tomorrow we will be at $804 to finish the week and keep paying bills. Thank you so much to everybody who jumped in. Thank you to Otto and Jeremy finishing off the challenge from Steve and from Joey and Giraffe. Thank you. Thanks to all of our subscribers who keep the program on the air with your kind subscriptions via Patreon and PayPal and your a la carte contributions. I really do think that we've got something special that happens here that I don't hear happening a lot of other places. And I so appreciate your willingness to make sure it continues so the conversation can continue for everyone who wants to join in. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this little conversation in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room this evening. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. What Ben Birch has done for progressive radio in the last 20-plus years cannot be adequately expressed. Thanks to everybody who wandered into the chat room. Thank you so much. Faith and Anatole and Will in Chicago and Squeaky. Thank you. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Remember, H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, has been reintroduced in this Congress in the House of Representatives. Please, 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 please contact your member of the House of Representatives, especially if they're a Democrat, and ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073 so that we can get it passed and get it over onto Chuck Schumer's desk and see what happens from there. And thank you so kindly in advance. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine as soon as you possibly can. Till then, stay safe. Stay home when you can. Observe everything you've been doing thus far. Wear your mask, double mask, don't touch your face, wash your hands, use hand sanitizer liberally, maintain your social distance, 15 feet between people with masks, and, well, 15 states between you and someone who doesn't. And, of course, if somebody comes towards you saying, that SPLC done called the American Legion and the VFW, right-wing extremist hate group, ignore or avoid avoid that moron like the plague, because he is. Later.